Hello and welcome to episode 21 of Comms Noise. I'm Chris, and with me for this episode is
Ben
and Ricky.
Right, so appreciate it's two apologies first up. Appreciate it's been a while since the last one.
I don't know, Armada players are used to waiting, aren't they?
Yes, but what a wait. Wasn't it worth it?
We'll find out.
It was two ships, right? Two ships in one. The size of two ships. So, apologies for that. Real life and stuff. I've actually moved out of my house for building work, so things have been a bit hectic, amongst other things. And we've had a debilitating heat wave here in the UK as well, which is like nothing by US standards, but because we don't have them, we don't have aircon.
No one has aircon
anywhere. And no one's prepared for it. We barely have shorts.
I had to go buy some sunglasses.
Yeah, I did a big shop where it was like, right, I need more than one pair of shorts and one t-shirt. So that, and the second apology is the quality of the last two episodes hasn't been up to our usual high standards. It's been terrible, let's face it. So
yeah, everyone contacted us as well, sorry.
We had plenty of emails.
We used what we had.
Yes, yeah, we used what we had, which was worth three times our normal recording.
Apparently not very good.
It's designed for gaming, not recording. Apparently,
well, hell of a laptop.
The motherboard was brilliant. Oh, but the microphone was.
It processed that audio so quickly.
Yes. So hopefully we've addressed that. We're trying something different again today. Mm. Do let us know if you like it more or worse than less than the original episodes, the pre two crap ones.
Don't count those in.
Yeah. Do let us know on those. So, Gen Con was last week.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're recording this Saturday of Gen Con, and the announcement was yesterday on Friday.
Wait, no, it's not. Gen Con is this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The
announcement was in the week.
Right? It was Wednesday, yeah. It was the day before Gen Con.
So it's about two or three days after the Superstar Destroyer.
I stayed up and everything. But lucky it was only like at 20 past 12. And then I was just like, saw the ship, went to bed.
It's like, was it twitched? Was it on Twitch?
People were twitching it, yeah. I can't remember. It was an X-Wing podcast stream.
Okay. Right.
But it was good quality.
They were there by accident, presumably. They haven't had the two.
They certainly were there for the SSD.
2.0.
So thankfully they have done an article, so we don't have to look at everyone's blurry phone photos of something in a cabinet that we can't see properly.
So what we're going to do this episode is we're going to give our thoughts about that and examine all the stuff that's out there about it, have a chat about that, and then at the end we did play a Q3 kit at Cardiff. Mm-hmm. It was about 6 or 7 weeks ago. So we'll do a very brief synopsis of that at the end with our list, briefer than usual, because
that was the last game we played, really, wasn't it?
So. Yeah, I've only played a couple of practices with Ricky since then. So yeah, it's been a while, and it's so bad, even I can't remember the names of the people I played.
Can we all give you a hard time about
that's
it?
That's how bad it is. No, but I can give you a hard time.
One of your opponents did get in touch.
Did they?
They did.
Did they say, get rid of that guy?
They said I was opponent number two or something.
Victim two.
Victim two was Ricky.
You were victim two, Ricky. Did you re-mail yourself?
No, I think we're talking about the one before that. I'm not sure it was. Because we haven't spoken about this one yet.
No, we haven't.
So.
Okay, well.
I should thank Brendan as well at Galactic Conflict.
Oh, yes. You guessed it on another podcast.
I did guess. Yeah.
If you need more Ricky Armada content,
that's so.
Head over to what was it called?
Galactic Conflict.
Cool.
So that was because you were first European to make Cut at Worlds.
Yes, it was just quite delayed.
Me and Ben.
I'm sure you can go on. I'm sure.
We did not get it.
Didn't make the cut.
Yeah, that's very, very fair.
Literally.
Very true. Yeah. We did have a great game of Battle Lore in the meantime, though.
We did.
And
I'm still yet to play.
And some pork chips with pulled pork on.
That might have been the best moment of going to Worlds. The pulled pork and the Battle Lore.
The pressure was off. The cut was off. So it's like, I don't have to worry about anything anymore. I can just kick back and play board games.
Where are these guys? Where I thought they might actually watch.
Well, we started hanging around, and then there was a big crowd at your table, so we thought we'd give you some space.
Our thoughts on Knockout Armada are well documented.
Oh, that's true. So there's nothing worse to watch than Knockout Armada.
There was no way I was coming to watch your game. Not even as moral support.
They had the other table on the screen as well, and we didn't even watch that.
No.
because that was...
No one wants to watch Knockout Armada.
That was equally as boring, even though it wasn't Recon v. Recon, like yours was.
It was still KG, lame ass.
It was still Recon v. Radis, which was, yeah.
And he flew off the board.
I wish I'd seen that part.
Yeah. Well, they didn't know because you were...
No, the commentators didn't clock
the stream
it.
Didn't. The stream guys didn't.
Let's not go
anyway,
there.
Never mind.
We're covering old news. Everyone wants to know about the big thing.
Yes, so let's start with the article.
Shall we go through the facts before we go through the opinions? If you haven't seen it already, there is an article.
Start at the top, Ben.
That is The Executor Arrives. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's super...
No, but just pick out the rules points.
So the main thing is... The ship is 24 inches long, which is insane. The base is almost three times the size of a large ship base. Because it is two large ship bases separated by a gap.
About a medium?
About a medium long. So it's almost three long. So it's ridiculous. And it's special rules, which apparently, it sounds like huge ships have got these special rules. It has six firing arcs and it can make three attacks a turn. It essentially has like a built-in strategic advisor. It can pass an activation once per turn. And the last thing is, when you resolve your command dial, when you resolve one of these command tokens, you also assign the corresponding command token to your ship.
You get a command token as
that's
well.
A misprint, right?
That must be a misprint. So basically, whenever you...
FFG never do that. They never, ever do that.
So when you resolve an order, you get a free token to go with it. So you basically, you always do one extra squadron activation. You can always change your speed by an additional one. You can always reroll one of your... You know, when you do concentrate fire, you gain a dice and you can reroll a dice. When you engineering, you add 50% of your engineering.
So it's like Ramus Antilles, but not quite, because you don't actually physically get the token.
You don't get to keep the token, you get to resolve. Oh no, it does say you'll assign the corresponding command token to your ship. Yeah, so effectively it's got a built-in Ramus Antilles.
Why did you not just raise the squadron value or up the engineering?
Because you can do other cool things with tech. Like,
yeah, I guess you
can.
And this stops you from then also comms netting a token over for an even higher effect on top.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean? If it just had engineering 10.
And then you gave it a token. Okay, okay. I can see that.
It's basically got built in Remus Antilles and Strategic Advisor, and it shoots three times. Which obviously means if you stick gunnery teams on it, you can shoot its best arc at three different targets.
I guess we don't know if it has. I'm sure one of them has the slot.
Yeah, so they've only previewed one of the four cards.
Have the slot.
That's everything about huge ships, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Cool.
So now we've got the card. They previewed the Star Dreadnought Command prototype, which, from the look of the box art, there are four variants of this ship.
This is the cheapest.
This is the cheapest.
Bare bones.
240 points.
220 points.
Oh, 220 points. Wow.
And it's got 22 hull, two blue anti-squadrons, four command dials, five squadrons, four engineering, two brace, two redirect, two contain. Can go up to speed two and may make no turns at any speed. I guess unless you do a navigate order.
It's not that great engineering for such a big ship.
No, it's less than the Interdictor.
Yeah.
It is only the command prototype, though.
It's true, it might be higher on another
super tanky prototype.
It has three officer slots, the gunnery team slot, two fleet commands, an offensive retrofit, an ion cannon, a turbo laser.
That's probably why the huge ship gives you the token as well, because you can trigger the fleet commands.
You can trigger the fleet commands, yeah, without...
Because you'd never trigger...
It's true, it would have to have a Gazonti friend following it about.
It'd have to comms in it.
But then why would you take... Like, it's hard enough to take one of them. Like, the need to take two...
I don't know. Intensify forward fire.
You would always put intensify forward firepower on this because you're effectively just giving it an extra dice.
It says it in the film, right?
Every turn. They even do say it in the film. And you may as well give it shields to maximum.
Yeah, I guess so. One extra shield for free.
Because if that card only costs like six points or something?
Yeah, but a ship costs 220. Every point is probably pretty valuable.
That's true. Well, I haven't tried to build a list with it yet, so we'll see. It's got six shields on the front, so finally something over four shields. That's exciting.
Five.
What?
Your Liberty has five in the front.
Oh, of course it does. Yeah, you're right. So something finally has six. All four of its side arcs have three, and then it has two on the rear.
The side arcs are like split at 90 degree.
Yeah, so there's just cut down the middle with a line.
Yeah.
And so it's got a front left, a front right, a back left, a back right.
Yeah.
The
arc's quite large as well. It's going to be hard to double arc.
It's going to be hard to double up.
They're different arcs, aren't they? These like the Illusor Red at the back.
Yeah, so out the front, it's the same as an ISD2, four red, four blue. The front sides have three red, a blue, and a black. The back sides have two red, a blue, and a black. And the rear has a blue, a red, and a black. So it goes eight dice, five dice, four dice, three dice, as you like move backwards down the ship.
And the shields are three and twos.
Yeah.
Not the strongest.
So my immediate thought is I'm glad this is the smallest one because it doesn't seem super powerful.
No.
You know, it's double the price of an ISD.
But you even said before, if this ever came out, it could never be good.
Well, yeah, I don't want it to be the best thing in the world because then everyone just brings one ship to Armada and then where's the game?
It's eminently killable by bombers without support, isn't it?
Yeah, well, if you focus on the front, you've got to get through 9 shields and 22 hulls. So you need to do 31 damage. I'm assuming you'll get maximum redirects and lose both your front side shields.
9 shields?
You go through...
Yeah, so you got
12?
Oh, sorry, 12, yeah. So 12. 12 30, 34 hits to the front, effectively. Assuming you always get to redirect.
It's got a lot of tokens to brace.
That's not impossible by any stretch. It's not invincible. You know, you get a lot of B-wings in there. You get
hammerheads.
Well, here's the downside, though. Obviously, everyone's going to give it to gunnery teams.
Yes.
And so it's going to shoot out of its front three.
Oh, losing three hammerheads in one turn would suck.
You don't really want to MSU this thing in the front because the more you send at it, the more damage it deals to you.
Yeah. Okay.
But certainly, if you can get into the side of it, which should be easy because it has no yaw turns at all, it's not going to kill you with its three red out the side.
Four red and four blue. I think a hammerhead could take that. Yeah.
Once.
At long range, easily.
Once.
That's all you need. Yeah. You know. That's what you
should. And you've got three officer slots, so you probably are going to put damage control officer on with your two contains.
You probably would.
I mean, what are your immediate thoughts for upgrades here? Mine are gunnery teams.
If
they don't FAQ it out, at the moment you can put Tua on it.
She doesn't have a restriction, does she?
She does, but only ships that already...
Not medium or small.
No. She can go on any ship as long as it doesn't already have a defensive retrofit, unless that ship is small.
Okay.
So what that means is she can go on a small ship with defensive retrofit, or any other ship that doesn't have a defensive retroship fit. So she can't go on an ISD-2, for example.
Yes. I think that would be super strong to have a defensive retrofit on.
Yeah, so why wouldn't you want a defensive retrofit? Other officers would be the damage control officer and...
intensify firepower that you mentioned already.
Yeah.
The offensive one, what was it?
The ramming one.
The one that stops you taking damage from smaller class ships.
Yes.
Because the force bulkhead?
That sounds about right. That would be a good one. Because obviously you're going to hit everything in the world with your enormous base.
Yeah, and it's so easy to stop this from moving.
Yeah.
Unless it can one-shot you to clear you out of the way before it moves.
It's like no one uses that card. This gives it a use. Right?
Yeah, certainly gives it a use.
That's a good use for it.
Rapid launch bays would be fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you start halfway up the board.
And you have a deployment of one. Because all your squadrons are just in the ship, probably. By the time you've bought this and you've upgraded it and you've put all your squadrons
you might have a repair team Gazanti sat behind it or something.
So you have a deployment factor of two.
I think rapid launch bays would be a laugh.
What about the turbo laser? Like XO7s?
Spinals, I guess, if you're shooting three out the front is a good choice.
With gunnery teams, yeah.
Yeah.
Spinals just seems like a waste, really. And you would have to have gunnery teams to make it worthwhile.
But then keeping things in your front is going to be almost impossible.
Yeah.
Unless maybe you've got Gerderod and you're navving.
Well, someone lets you out of blue. You're not going fast. Everything's going to be going fast.
The thing though, like,
at least you can use
and
it three times.
That's on every arc.
Every shot.
That's true, yeah. The quad battery turrets, I think it's called.
Yeah.
They add a blue if they're slower. If you're slower than them.
Yeah.
You are going to be slower than them.
Does it have an ion cannon?
It does.
And then you can
leading shots.
Put leading shots.
And there's not many other iron cannons I would want because every other arc only has one blue dice, and most of the iron cannons require a blue crit.
Yeah, so you could put leading shots on just to
make sense too.
Or maybe how would the blues out the sides, the enhanced ion turbines?
Yeah.
Does that give it to all four side arcs?
That would be awesome if it does.
Don't know.
I guess
there's going to be a mega fac for this, isn't there?
Yeah, because
they're going to have to come with a booklet. They're going to have to sort Motti out.
Yeah,
because anyone gives them nothing now, right?
I mean, you technically can't put a strategic advisor on this because that's a lot of chips only.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Do you think you have more than one modification? Like, you think that might be a rule?
Oh, good point. Because there's so many slots, like you might want to put two mods on.
Yeah, like the side arc. You could put the red one and the blue one, but I'm pretty sure they're both modifications.
They are both mods, Anything that adds a dice is generally a mod.
And you also can't fit it in the deployment zone. I mean, I guess it's going to be a rule of huge.
So my assumption would be the same rule for X-Wing, where as long as part of your base is touching your board edge, you can deploy wherever you want. Which does mean you go super far out onto the board. Like, if you have this and you have Fleet Ambush, like, you'll be touching their ships.
Oh, and then there's another point to talk about with the base. Could you therefore set up a triple arc?
Well, the base. No, we had a look at the picture. It looks like the gap between the arcs is too big.
Yeah.
I'd be amazed if you could pull off a triple
arc. But you could double arc. You only got three shots, but you could double arc threaten two ships.
You could triple arc another SSD.
But then. to be honest, your double arc is only. Even if you get your front and your front
it's
side,
more than
it's one more dice.
An MC-75 is better, really. With the dice are more blacks in there.
And it's got ordnance slot, which this doesn't have.
Of course, it doesn't have as much health, but...
I mean, that's really the only thing... That's what you're paying the huge premium in points for, is the health and the special rule of getting a token every turn. Mm.
I guess it really depends what you can partner it up with. Like, an ISD would fit just...
Hang on, let's say roughly 30 points for your admirals. You're up to 250. You put an ISD in.
You got 30 points to wiggle with.
30 points for upgrades and fighters. And you need to put gunnery teams and like defensive retrofits on both of them.
Yeah.
So really, that's it. That's all your points got, apart from a couple of little bits here and there.
Interdictor would work pretty well for keeping it alive.
You could have the Interdoctor, couldn't you, with the shield transfers and the targeting scramblers?
The upgrades, again, are really expensive.
I've never heard that name before. Interdoctor.
He heals
the other shit. I like it. No, it's cool.
But he has also sworn an oath to do no harm.
He's called a Hippocratic oath. Well, yeah, that's, given his arcs, that's not a problem. Yeah. Like, given the dice he rolls, no problem.
But the Interdoctor costs, what, maybe like 110, 120?
Yeah, about that. So about the same.
Yeah.
It's just not going to work.
I mean, if you take a list like that, you're going to struggle to lose big. It's impossible to win big. You're not getting a 9 or a 10 with a ship that, you know, shoots 8 dice twice a turn.
We could be wrong. Like,
and moves 2 in a straight line.
I can only assume the next card's going to be a much more offensive card.
Well, there's a little... Like a splash shot, like they always do, with all the good cards. Well, not the good cards. All the unknown cards, like, hidden, right?
Should we just finish the
The
known cards in the article preview, and then we'll go to speculation.
Okay, well, there's another article picture that's worth looking. But before we do that, we'll read out Emperor Palpatine. The man himself is here. He's a 35-point fleet commander who says, after deploying fleets, place one defense token of each type on this card. At the start of your ship phase, you may discard one of these tokens. If you do, until the end of the round, if an enemy ship or squadron spends a matching token during its defense token step, discard that token. So effectively, he's a heavily restricted intel officer for all of your ships.
Yeah.
This would be amazing against Sloan lists, though. Sloan aces, that's...
For one turn,
but that's probably all you need to just remove that token, right? They don't get it back.
No, what I'm saying is, like, let's say I'm playing against Sloan aces and I have Sloan aces as well, and I can spend my accuracies to get rid of their scatters. Is that any better or worse than...
If you spend his accuracy, does the effect come into play?
Well, you can't have Sloan and Palp in the same fleet.
Oh, yeah. Of course not.
But do you know what I mean? Like, Palpatine, okay, yeah, sure, if you spend that scatter, you lose it.
Yeah.
But for one turn, is that... How powerful is that?
Yeah, and he strikes me as a spam list counter. But if you've got a balanced fleet, right, and you've got a big ship, you're fighting against a big ship with a brace,
mm-hmm.
and then you've maybe got a long-range shot at a flotilla,
mm.
and then maybe you've got admonition, like, parked in next to you.
So ideally, there's three different tokens you want to be cancelling.
You're getting a 7-point intel officer.
Yeah.
You're just getting intel officers.
I would rather have another admiral and two intel officers.
And you're paying 35 points and losing another admiral, like Motti or Jejerod, or Vader, who could do amazing things.
You could have Jejerod and two intel officers...
same
for
points.
2 points more
yeah.
than
yeah.
Palp.
Yeah.
I think...
He saves you the two officer slots.
He does, but the intel officers are better because they can choose whatever token they want every time.
Yeah, specific to the ship.
Rather than the blanket one. And then once you've done that, once you've picked your brace, you can't pick brace again.
No.
You get one turn of nailing their brace.
Yeah.
And if it's... Unless you've got like a super, you know, double-arced Avenger kind of shot going off, they're just not going to spend it.
And it's not even that great against Spamly. I mean, I know flotillas are gone now, but just say, theoretically, this was built up when flotillas were dominant.
Mm.
So you've got four or five flotillas. How many of those are you in range of each turn? One or two, maybe? And
none,
then the next
probably
turn,
the other
two.
End of the board.
And a couple of gone round the side. So, yeah, he's pretty disappointing, isn't he? For the rule of the Galactic Empire, he's
Yeah, well, you'd expect him to have a bit more impact on the game than a worse version of a card that already exists.
I mean, I guess he might let you pick two ships off your inverse of what I've said. He might let you go, oh, I'm fighting against the big thing now, I'll choose brace. And then next turn, oh, I'm mopping up for tillers. Oh, right, well, now I'll choose evade.
Good against MT80s, like,
but
how, I mean, the way Arda plays at the moment at the high end competitive level, how often do you get multiple sustained turns of shootings at the same ship?
Very rare.
Normally, you're killing a ship in one or two turns.
If you lock it in, or if it's big ship, be big ship, you can...
I guess two big ships are different tokens that you need to remove.
But even most ships, for example, have two redirects. Like, if we're talking
the
big ones. So, the intel token's kind of worthless, because they'll just go, yeah, well, I'll spend one of my intel, one of my redirects, and I'll have another one for next turn.
It's true.
And for the brace, they'll just make that calculated decision of how hard did you hit me? Am I going to get attacked next turn? If I'm escaping your deadly arc next turn, I'll use my brace. I know I'm going to get shot a lot more, I'll let that shot through.
It
doesn't seem like it puts the opponent in a particularly difficult position.
And at 35 points,
pricey,
like, that's got to be doing something.
Even if he could pick and the same token every turn.
Yeah.
Like, so without this restriction he's got, if he could just say, name a token, if the enemy spends that token, they lose it, and you can do the same one every turn.
Yeah.
I still think he'd be too expensive.
At least to be better.
Well, that's one of he'd be a lot better. But that's my point. You could make him way better, and he's still not good, in my opinion.
Who else is like that? Leia?
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of Leia.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Even if Leia didn't have her restriction, she'd still be bad.
The problem you have with all these admirals is, even if, like, the points cost is high, but even if you drop it, because you're losing, the cost of it is the opportunity cost, right?
Mm.
Of
other
good
admirals.
Other admirals
yeah.
who do, like, they used to say it on Intensify 4 Firepower all the time. Like, give me Motti over like anybody else all the time, because he just makes my ships better.
Just
I don't have to
thing.
Do anything. I don't have to buy a certain command. I don't have to pick them and put them on a thing. I don't have to situationally play my fleet.
He's not like
a
Medine that only works when I pick navigate.
Exactly. He's not like that. He's not like Leia, where I have to, like, build a fleet around her.
And only have command
he's
one
He's not
ships.
Like Vader, where I have to build a fleet around him, and I have to flip my tokens, and I have to pay an additional cost, and it's only once per turn.
Yeah.
He just makes me better. So
Palpatine
clearly doesn't do that.
That's the good animal, though, right?
It's the opportunity cost.
Well, I mean, you don't have to build your fleet around him. He does always work. It's just what he does is quite minimal.
I think what I'm saying is, it's like Leia. Like, Leia always works. But to get the best out of her, you have to build a fleet for her.
Yeah.
She's not a plug and play.
No, you
and
wouldn't take it with
Pulse,
two big ships.
I think you have to build your fleet around. Like, the only fleet I could see this even coming close to working is maybe a double ISD long range fleet, where you're going to get some relatively hefty.
You'll
red
be shooting
shots.
Every turn for a sizable amount of damage.
You're going to get five or six red shots, probably augmented, and you're going to fire that at long range. And you're saying to the guy, right, you can either take damage to your hull this turn,
or none,
and keep your brace for next turn, or you can lose and maybe take a nasty crit, or you can lose your brace this turn, and then you're going to take a hammering next turn. So it makes the putters a difficult choice. But even that's pretty weak.
Three ISDs. I've
played three ISDs.
Can you squeeze it in?
It has some bad matchups.
Yeah.
Would
that make it better?
Well, it doesn't make it any better against the things it's weak against.
No.
Well, all squadron lists.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything with Admo or Demo or squadron lists.
Now, would it be good if you also took intel officers with him? That's
and
the next question.
That.
Then you can just say, okay, now these two tokens. If
that's very expensive.
It's very expensive. But is there value in that?
Depends what the targets are. Because if you're saying... saying that to a big enemy ship, and you're saying, right, here's your brace and your redirect, both of them down, then yeah, that might be good for that long range double ISD attack, because you're saying, right, you're taking a long range shot, can probably do 5 to 6 damage.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying you're going to take this in the front, and you're not going to get to redirect any of it. Well, maybe it's going to use the other redirect, but you might get one accuracy. Probably not, actually. I'm thinking maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
It would be good for the big turn when you get all your dice and you maybe get a double arc, perhaps.
I don't know either.
Because with against other big ships, you're normally getting 2 good solid shots against them.
Yeah.
But it's probably useless against little small ships, because they'll go, fine, I'll lose my...
I'll have to spend it.
I'll lose my evade and my redirect, and then now I'm going to speed 4 that way.
And I'm out of it.
So
it's just... not going to end up being used at all, is he?
And then I guess the next question is, he comes with the SSD, so where's the benefit there? Because usually, admirals work very well with the ships they are packaged
like Taggy, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, to be honest, they are the best ships for him, the Gazontis.
Still not great.
But if I had to pick a ship that benefits the most from Taggy, it probably is the Gazonti.
I mean, it's just thematic, isn't it?
Well, it is.
On an SSD, it's thematic.
Yeah.
Even though he should be on the Death Star.
I guess, the SSD shoots 3 times a turn. So it uses his effect 3 times a turn.
Okay, yeah, that's reasonable.
No one's going to pick advanced gunnery on that ship either.
I wouldn't even bother putting it.
That would really work well.
I would.
You would.
If you lose the SSD, you've lost the game anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? By the time you put the upgrades on that and your admiral on that thing,
you just got 440 points.
But I mean, no one on the other side's going to pick it.
Oh no! But so you would always put it in there.
Oh right, yeah.
Is there a way to make it?
Although that means actually, the downside is if you put advanced gunnery in your list, then you can't take gunnery teams.
No.
So there's the problem.
Just don't want that.
But is there anything to force?
No. There's nothing that's good enough to make me allow an ISD front arm to shoot one single ship in my fleet.
3 times
per turn. There is nothing better
than
that.
You would always take, even if it was like SensorNet or Firelands or something, you would always take.
Unless I had a super nimble fleet, and I can guarantee. But even then, that side arc firing 5 times is still 3 times as nasty.
Any of his arcs.
That could kill a small ship at medium range.
Fire lanes, if you could take 3.
Fire lanes, I think the SSD is actually really bad at fire lanes.
Why?
Because it doesn't. Just lands it's on the fact it shoots. Well, yeah, it's going to land on the tokens, holy shit. But also, it has no more shots than an ISD.
I mean, you'd have to take strategic with it.
Right.
But then.
You just need to bolt on your 150-point strategic engine onto a 280-point.
Well, that's what I mean. You can't. Upgrades. Because SensorNet's the other one. You can't take SensorNet because you just don't have enough ships.
Yeah, you need like 5 or 6 ships to really abuse SensorNet.
At most, you might have 4. If
you could take, well, you take 2 Gazontis.
A Raider.
And, I think an Arctans. You want the Commander variant Arctans because it has the move your fighters again upgrade. Fighter coordination, boys. So you can push your shuttles around at a relatively low price.
Yeah.
Also kind of gladiators.
Yeah, but the Arctans is cheaper.
So even cheaper would be Quasar. That lets you do it.
With school.
Yeah.
Just to finish up on Palpatine then, before we go into fleets. I think he's gimmicky. He's super gimmicky.
Yeah.
He's like, let's teach a newbie how cool and thematic and fun this game is. I'll have an SSD with Palps. You have all this stuff. You try to kill me, and I'll just fly in a straight line and do nothing to help you learn the rules of the game.
Yeah. That's the best use
and
of it.
And you'll go away with a great experience thinking, I want to buy this game because I shot the shit out of Palpatine and blew up his SSD, and it was super fun.
Yeah, but the guy playing with the SSD, I don't think, is going to get a lot of fun out of that game.
No. Other than maybe recruiting someone else to play.
Building the community.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I feel. I'm actually really disappointed. Not only that we've had to wait a year.
There's normally, no rebel ship.
Basically, up until this point, we've had 4 ships a year. 4 new admirals. Each one having a completely different twist on list building and shaking the game up and potentially breathing life back into old ships you don't use anymore.
Yeah.
And we've gone from that, from 4 ships a year to now 1 ship a year. And it's a ship I don't see myself ever using outside of a novelty game for a laugh.
Yeah.
And the admiral that they've shown, they should point out, there is also Admiral Piat, which we haven't seen yet. But this admiral doesn't make me immediately want to write any lists based on it.
No, he should be super cool. He should be like he is in Destiny, where you go, fuck, like this guy. This guy on his own. All right, I don't know what I've given up Destiny a while back, but when he came out, this guy on his own was viable.
Yeah.
He was powerful. He was crazy powerful. Crazy
good. But it felt
just
right.
He had weaknesses, but he could be beaten, but he was like, get this guy on the table, and this is cool.
And it's, and it's scary, and it feels like the
Force lightninging the best characters in the galaxy, no trouble, and it should have been like that, really.
Yeah, something really quite scary. Like, you basically want him to be very powerful at one thing and weak to something else, so that he has that threat factor, but is also balanced.
Because you're giving up probably 5 to 8 hit points with Motti. If you don't take Motti, you're giving up
across
the whole fleet. You're giving up an amazing maneuverability with Gerald, and you're giving up like super good rerolls with a long range thing for Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think once they've shown him, that's it? Like, there is no way for them to adjust?
Probably, because they did show. The one exception is they didn't preview Sloane like this, but you could read Sloane's text off the splash.
Oh, yeah.
And it did change on release. So that's the only time I've ever seen them show a card that changed.
But was that actually the effect change, or they just clarified what?
No, it was. Before, it was only swarm things that got affected by her, and then they changed it to non-rogues.
Ah.
Right.
So it's still possible. They still could fix Palpatine, right?
I guess. I hope. I want new things that I'm excited to play with.
Yeah, the three shouldn't have been there. He's just 5 points.
Wow. That would be interesting.
He'd just be the 5-point admiral.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be taking
some kind of like small side benefit.
You'd be like, I've written a list that's 390 points with no admiral, and there's nothing I want to drop because it's super tight. I need to put an admiral in. Oh, just chuck Pop. He'll do literally nothing for me. But
I hope I'm wrong. I hope someone will get out there and sign a list and just be like, oh, wow, this burns everyone down.
Yeah.
But the same could be said for the SSD.
Well, yeah, I'm a bit disappointed with it. Like, I mean,
Should we just go through the speculation things first? And
Okay. So there was a second.
We're not in facts, but we're
second splash artwork that shows different cards.
We haven't even done the main one with the main cards yet.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I'll go back to the article. So the main article has a splash that you can see parts of cards. So there's 4 ship cards, one of which is upside down. One of which is Star Dreadnought, which we can't really see anything about. And the other one is Executor Class, which seems to have 33 hit points instead of 22.
Yeah, that's got to be like an epic. We epic think play. That might be the epic.
That's probably the epic play variant that costs like 300 or 400 points.
Do we think they have some kind of scenario in the box?
I hope so. Like the Krillin Corvette for X-Wing had like a mini campaign you could play through. That was quite fun. So that'd be nice.
Just some kind of story to the reason why you're setting up this big massive SSD.
And if you change the fundamental rules of the game, like you change the way you detract the ability to pick missions as lists, you change the way the deployment works, just all these little small things, then you can make it balanced, and it feels a different game, and it feels narrative, and it feels fun, rather than just saying, well,
shoehorning something far too big into a normal game.
You can stick this down, but you're losing activation advantage, you're losing deployment advantage, you're losing maneuverability.
And for me, the most important thing is you're losing all your tactical decisions, effectively. There's not much thought. Once you've deployed this thing,
you're going forward.
Yeah, that's it. You're driving forward and you're rolling dice.
And that's
all you're doing.
Sounds like an ISD anyway.
Yeah, but that was it. I took 2 ISD to Worlds. And after those games, I was like, I'm bored of this. It's the same game every time.
Were you rolling forward?
And this
rolling
is half of that.
There are more strategic decisions with ISDs, particularly with Gerald.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of manoeuvring.
There's a lot of manoeuvring and placement. And you can decide, am I hanging in there and going for the big win? Or am I getting out and taking a small win or a loss?
And
there are some decisions.
Yeah, and that was it. I took 2 ISDs with some decision making. This is like even less than that.
So let's go through what we think we might be.
So they've shown a whole load of cards that we already know about.
On a plus, they're giving you some nice ones that are quite in need. I really need another flight
controller. Yeah, flight controllers and rapid launch bays are both rare cards, as is point defense reroute.
Is that veteran gunner?
Veteran gunner there, it looks like.
Boarding engineers.
Another one of those would be
heavy
cool.
Heavy ion emplacements.
XI7s are rare.
XI7s. So most of the upgrade cards here are hard to get anywhere else.
To splash down £150 to get them.
If you really want another flight controllers, you can get you can get a victory. That's where they come from.
No, it's not. It's just the interdictor.
Nope. Oh, no, sorry. No. The Interdictor has the Wing Commander. No, what's it called? The Interdictor has the guy that lets you activate after you move.
That's the one I'm after.
The Flight Controllers are the extra blue dice when you activate.
I bought another Interdictor the other day.
Did you?
Just purely because I wanted
Because you wanted them.
And it was a good price.
Expender.
And it was a good price.
It was second hand, was it?
Yeah.
Fair enough. You get all four fleet commands.
Yeah.
Four titles, which is quite exciting.
Yeah.
I guess the titles could make this ship.
The titles could really change out plays, because like
Avenger makes the ISD, but it well it's amazing.
If you're talking about defining titles, you need look no further
Gladiator.
Than the Gladiator Yavaris. And Yavaris.
Exactly, like you wouldn't take a Neb without Yavaris. You wouldn't take a Gladiator. You can, but
yeah. Well, if anyone has the only time you ever see Gladiators without Demolisher is when they have more than one Gladiator.
It's true. You might see Salvation in a Sato list.
Yeah. Maybe. But exactly. So if the titles are as big as those cards, then it could change the ship completely.
And up the price by like 10 points.
I mean, maybe there could be a 50-point title in there. You never know.
Damn. At least it can have two. Yeah, 220 is the minimum they've said, right?
Yeah, they said this is the cheapest one.
That's the cheapest.
One. So there is no way to fit two. Unless you wanted to like play Carillion Conflict and drop like 180 points out of your list spare. So you take like an SSD with an Unreal. You play like three games with like a 250-point list. And just you saved up enough to buy the second SSD.
And you hyperspace it. You hyperspace turn one on everything so he can't die.
Yeah.
You don't have to repair him. Yeah. So you lose every game.
But then...
But for the big game, you got two.
Well, no, even only two games in or something.
All right, so for the third round,
you've got two SFTs.
You can serve sideways.
Oh, yeah.
You just got to fly and live, right?
And you can have all four fleet commands. Yeah. Still got four.
If you did engineering, you might survive without taking damage to jump out, right?
Probably. Well, it depends. If you're up against like a small B-Wing, then you won't. Well,
and against, like all three of you could do that and all have two SSDs for the final game.
Well, just have six of them.
Six
on the board.
SSDs.
Yeah, I mean, it will only cost you $1,200.
That sounds like a great way to spend a hard-earned day off as well. Like, yeah. A whole day just flying 12 SSDs
just
around.
Bumping super space
all
daggers
them
into
can
each
skip
other.
A turn.
Okay, so those are the
so
things.
So we also get Admiral Piett, Emperor Palpatine as fleet commanders. Then you get a whole bunch of officers that looks like an officer version of Emperor Palpatine,
yeah.
An officer version of Darth Vader, an officer of someone called Admiral something, an officer Director Krennic, an officer I don't recognise, and a commander or commandant or something. So two new officers... Well, hang on. Really? Six brand new officer cards.
Named Imperial officers.
Three of which we recognise the names of.
Yeah.
Well, they're all unique.
And they're all unique.
Yeah. Hmm.
So there really is nothing for Rebels in here. All the cards we've seen here...
Thanks, FFG.
...are Imperial only, or already exist.
I was really looking forward to a Rebel ship. I suppose everyone was looking forward to a wave, shall we say.
It would have been nice for an upgrade card the Rebels could use, wouldn't it?
Oh, no, that would have been worse. Cause
oh, yeah,
because
then you'd have to buy the thing. Yeah, that would be worse, I suppose.
Yeah, oh. Or it'd be like the X-Wing ones.
Yeah.
Was it C-3PO?
Yeah, or the Emperor Palpatine in X-Wing only comes in the Raider.
Yeah, he was super powerful, right?
Yeah, well. And so he was kind of a must-have tax on him.
Yeah.
We were to buy an Imperial ship for intensified forward firepower.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It only came with Chimera, didn't it?
Yeah.
Although there's a one that only comes with the Rebel one. Because the Chimera only comes with three of them. I forget which one.
I think it's the shield one.
Might not. Yeah, probably.
Well, you're about to get one anyway if you do buy the SSD.
Yeah, if you buy it. I mean, it's $200 for a ship I will probably use once
it's
or twice.
It's on pre-order for $145, I've seen.
This is the most...
Pounds.
Pounds.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is the most frustrating thing for me about this article was it said. I didn't stay up to watch the Twitch thing. Barely, you sent me some pictures on our group chat or whatever, and then the article came out, and I was like, oh, I better go and check this out. I was busy at work and I had other things on my mind, so I just didn't really bother. And I checked it out, and the first thing I saw at the top was order now. And I was like, fuck, this is going to be out like next month. Yes, I'm having this. And then I looked down, it was like, oh, Q1 2019.
And when was the last time they actually hit their delivery schedules for Armada? I don't think they ever have.
Maybe
April at the earliest.
I'm not going to be paying you now for something I'm getting in 8 months. Probably, yeah.
It depends what their definition of Q1 is. Like,
well, it's January to March.
That's what we assume it as.
Well, that's what it means.
That's what it is.
Maybe it doesn't for them.
Well, clearly it doesn't for them. Maybe they start on financial years, because
yeah,
I don't think anything's ever been more than like 3 months overdue.
April 1st, Q1. Oh. That'll be released.
They said Q4 for Chimera and Profundity.
Q4 that, would be January.
And that came out February.
January to March.
Oh, right. So maybe yeah, they do just all their Qs line up with the financial year in April.
Exactly.
Put the year wrong. All right, so you kind of half started, Ben, so you
okay.
go first.
So I've got a lot of feelings. I've already sort of glossed over them, but my first thing was, obviously there's been no news of new product. The last time we got an article previewing a new thing was August last year. It's officially been a year now since they previewed Profundity and Chimera. So I thought, maybe this is finally the moment, because I hate having something previewed and then not actually getting it in my hands for 9 months and being drip-fed information over the course of 9 months. I hate it.
What's the kind of maximum you would say?
I don't really want to wait more than 3 months.
Do you like the current GW model where something drops and then the next month it's out? The news goes out on the internet and then the next month
That would be my ideal. Because the way FFG do it, by the time I actually get it in my hands, I'm already kind of bored of it.
Yeah.
Because I've already made a load of lists and I've thought about it a lot and it doesn't feel that exciting to get hold of it. And it just drags it out and you're always thinking like, oh man, I feel like I actually don't want to play a mod with the toys I've got because I know there's this new stuff coming. And it ruins the whole experience for me.
You don't have to worry about that this time.
No, that's true. That's true. So what I was hoping was, there's been no news for a year. Maybe they've altered their strategy and this big wait is because...
it's going to be out.
They're just going to release it a month after they announce it.
And they were just getting the ships from China to come over or whatever, and they were filling the store.
Yeah, that was what I really, really hoped. And then that will be the new way going forward. Every 6 months, you just go, here's a new thing, next month it's out.
So you're blowing people away if they said, like, it's there at Gen Con to buy.
And the other thing that may have pointed in that direction is, last year's Gen Con when we got nothing... and they said, oh, sorry, we've got nothing for you for Armada, but don't worry, we have something really big coming soon. And then Thrawn. And we were like,
that's not the really big thing.
That's not a really big thing. Like another ISD with some variants.
Yeah, a variant of a ship.
That's not a really big thing. Yeah. So clearly, they've had this in development for a long time.
Yeah.
They were going to pull the trigger last year, but didn't for
they
whatever
did say
reason.
On the video,
they might have had
production
trouble.
Issues.
Yeah.
It's a big model.
Production, whatever.
It's a lot bigger than
I was thinking. Therefore, now they're going to do it. This when it came out, I was like, "This is because they've done it. They've sorted out the rules. They've finished the playtesting, whatever, and they've stockpiled a fuck ton, and they're ready to ship." But no,
they can't, because that would be the same time as 2.0. That would be crazy.
Yeah, they wouldn't want to split their money like that.
True. This is all delayed purely because of 2.0. I would imagine.
Yeah. Maybe.
Because, you finish your thoughts, Ben. I've got thoughts on it as well.
So, yeah, I was disappointed about the change in the preview strategy. I'm disappointed that it's a ship that I don't know what the other three ships are like, the other three variants of this ship, but I can pretty much guarantee I'm going to have no interest in playing with it competitively, either because it won't be competitive, or even if it is... if it is competitive and a third of the people who come to tournaments take this thing, I think that'll be really bad for the meta.
Yeah, because there's no decisions.
Because there's no decision making. Yeah. You make your list, you put it on the board and you roll it forward and roll some dice.
Yeah.
It's not exciting me at all. The only thing that... the silver lining I was hoping was that hopefully the Admiral will be good enough to make some new lists, or there'll be some new upgrade cards that shake things up, and maybe these officers will.
Can we see anything about Pierre? Because he's the only one.
He's very, very blurry, and it's something to do with friendly ships activating commands, but I can't make it out.
And what was the alternative snap that you said?
Oh yeah, so there was an alternative splash that I don't know went out on Twitter or something like that, that I've got here that shows a bit more of the star. What is it? The Executor 2 class Star Dreadnought.
And it looks lengthways, right?
Yeah, so it's...
a double card.
It's a double card. They're all double cards. All four of them are double cards.
I just realised the dice on that one is immense.
So it's got 33... this is the 33 hull. It looks like it's got red, blue and black anti-squadron dice.
Yeah.
And on its front, it's got five red, five blue.
So, and the sides
and
are...
and the sides are also eight dice with four red, three blue and a black.
Now, that's what I would expect.
That's epic play.
So I assume this is the epic play one, but maybe not. You know, you never know. This might still just be the 350-point variant or whatever.
Well, so you get that and a commander, and then that's your lot. That's it.
And maybe some ties or whatever. Like, who knows? Either this is the epic play one or just a crazy expensive one. But even then, I mean, yeah, that's a lot of dice, but... oh, yeah, actually, if you double arc with that, you're looking at... 18 dice. which is pretty scary.
Can't repel firepower of
that magnitude. Yeah. Very nice. And they also previewed the Star Dreadnought Assault prototype, which the artwork's kind of weird. It, either it's got some kind of scaffolding around
that's
it.
That's where it's being built, isn't
is
it?
Is that like the shipyard's being built?
That looks like the, right. Yeah, that's the scaffold for
looks kind of nuts.
Assembling it.
And this one's got one extra red dice out the front over the command variant we talked about earlier.
It's got one extra on the side.
And one extra red on each side as well.
What, can we see what the we can't see what the side shields are on the big boy.
No. I would expect
five.
It's five. Yeah, six and then five on the front sides and then 33 hull.
I've got a feeling that won't be playable in competitive.
That'll be the epic one.
That'll be like, build, pick 600 points of rebels and try to kill with some modified objectives and modified deployment. And
so I guess that is this is what the stats it should have for thematically, but this would break the game kind of version.
Yeah.
So if you want to play against what you think it should be.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So what this goes to show is it looks like the Assault Dreadnought prototype is a marginally upgunned version of the one we've already seen.
It's a little bit better.
Which I guess it's going to be like, 240 or something.
If it comes with a... No, it can't come with a torpedo.
Why not?
One black on the side. You really think it would have a black?
Yeah, but there's other ordnance. You could put like rapid launch bays or expanded launch bays and stuff like that. Like the things that just add black dice.
That would hurt a lot, actually.
Or you could give it... If it has black anti-squadron, you could give it like flechettes or ordnance pods.
That's true. But that does specify on them large.
Oh, yeah, ordnance pods are large only. Yeah. Good point. I don't know, that's kind of theoretical at this point.
So what's your thoughts?
So my thoughts are, just to sum up, disappointed, don't think it's good for the meta. It's a very cool looking model that I think a lot of people will want to have on their shelf. I look forward to playing the couple of one-off novelty games with and against it.
Yeah,
but I don't think I can justify spending $200 on that experience. So I don't know if I'll be getting it personally. Yeah. But I'm sure a lot of people will love to get a huge giant toy.
Yeah.
Especially people who don't exclusively play tournaments. Yeah. And just want to because there's a lot of people who play Armada who just play 600 or 800 point games.
Looking at that picture
as that's what they want. They want a huge fleet.
Yeah.
And they'll love this.
Yeah.
What do you think, Ricky?
Well, this picture looks like this is one of the messed up ones. Because it looked a lot more detailed.
I think this is a computer rendering.
Maybe, because...
Not a real model.
That looks all mushed together, like it came out the mould wrong.
Yeah. It's also a bit of a low-res picture.
Yeah.
Maybe.
What do you think, Ricky?
I'm disappointed that there's not a Rebel ship. I wouldn't have even cared if it was small.
Exclusively Rebels, don't you?
There's not even cards. I probably would buy one. It would suck for some other Rebel players that would need to buy it if there were some cards that were required.
Yeah, that's a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Yeah.
On one hand, you want new content, but on the other hand, you don't want to have to pay $200 for a bit of card.
The thing's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, if you're in a play group like with us, then you can
we share cards, and it's not a problem. And I don't mind if you want to print a card out.
Yeah, and in casual games, and even in like quarterly tournaments we run, we're probably okay with print outs.
Yeah, we're not going to ban them and kick them out.
It's only in like regional and above, maybe, or sort
like
of
premier events.
There's only nationals and euros. Is only the premiers now.
Euros last year when I played that one of the guys, and he'd like forgotten two cards. So like I lent him one, and then he was like, "I don't have the ship card for this thing either. So can I just like look it up on the internet?" Like, seriously, is this a Euros, or is this a piss around in my loft, or is this a European championship?
Did you just
like,
say no?
No, we were like on
take the ship off. Yeah. You don't have the card.
We were like on table 28 or something. So I was not a dick, but
that would have put you off a lot.
Like, why have I bothered to like carefully bring my fleet if this guy's just rocking up with? And then it was you with your not even your damage deck, and you like borrow.
I had nothing. I just had models. I had to borrow everything. It was a nightmare.
But at least you did have. In the end, you had originals and you had problems.
It was only by chance I bought my book.
You had your everything, but
that was only just by chance. I chucked it in there just in case. Yeah. I didn't even know what I thought, but
like you'd only just finished packing, like organizing it. I think that's why you brought it. You're like, it's my new precious thing. I spent loads of time on it. I'm going to take it everywhere I go.
Yeah.
So are you going to buy everything? You buying in?
Yeah.
See how you feel in 9 months.
It's true.
Yeah,
but it looks cool. It'll look cool on a shelf.
Yeah.
Unless they come out in the next couple of weeks announcing Wave 9 or something.
Well, I mean, theoretically, they've never announced a wave more than like a week before a wave's come out, I think.
No, but they have done, like, is this definitely only, this is just Wave 8 on its own? Because what they have
done, we don't even know.
Oh, they haven't called it Wave 8.
Because what they have done before is they've gone, here's a new Imperial ship, and then a week later, here's a new Rebel ship they're coming out.
They have done that before, yeah.
Or the other way around.
And they've done it before where they've merged waves. They've gone, like, they went, here are the flotillas.
Yeah.
And then they went, oh, and here's the Interdictor and the Liberty as well, and called that wave.
And they're all coming out a week apart or a day apart, whatever it was.
So for whatever reason, they're hiding a ship?
You could get a Rebel ship. It's not that they hide it. They just literally announce them a week apart.
Well, I wouldn't mind.
Because they don't want to split the hype.
Yeah.
It's possible, because there is... do you remember that? You won that poster? You got that artwork of the Profundity?
Yes.
And in the background was a ship that they haven't...
Talk or something?
Something like that. Like a Corvette that they haven't released a model for. So it's in official FFG artwork.
And is it from Rogue One?
It's in Rogue One. It's in the background of the Rogue One.
So it's a canon ship.
It's a canon ship that's in FFG artwork. So... Right. Theoretically, that they might announce that.
Yeah.
But don't hold your breath.
Yeah. That'd be a bit underwhelming, wouldn't it? Be like, Imperials, you get this 22 hull thing. You get a 22 point thing.
To be honest, I'm always more excited by the smaller ships. Because they give you far more options in
competitively, they'll give you far more impact on competitive games.
Potentially. The one ship release, which is going to be a one ship for like a 2 year gap. It's going to end up being a 2 year gap for
Is this it now? Like then once this comes out in April next year, are we then going to have to wait another year after that for the next ship?
Are we going to wait to Gen Con for them to announce?
Because if I tell you that, man, like the competitive scene is dead for me, if that's the case.
It's just
not waiting 2 years for the meta to change.
Depends how 2.0 does, I guess, doesn't it? And it depends on Legion and Rune Wars as well.
That's true.
Because that's their strategy.
They're going to push whatever line's making the most money, aren't they?
Well, and there's not...
Legion really? Like, tournaments are dead.
Let me tell you why. The reason is not selling. That... It's not the stated strategy, but they severed their relationship with Games Workshop.
Hmm.
And then suddenly, within a month, they're selling Rune Wars and they've announced Legion, which are direct competitors with Games Workshop's...
Yeah, 28mm models that you paint.
Skirmish models. You paint, you collect, you convert, you make your own terrain, you make a battlefield, you build custom army points, right? So clearly they wanted a piece of 40k Warhammer market.
Mm.
Well, they are for now.
And if they're throwing their resources and money into that, like Armada's never going to keep up with that money-wise.
I'm just not seeing anyone play it.
But that doesn't mean no one is.
You own it? Well, you all own it.
It doesn't mean nobody is.
Well, no, I know.
Who knows? Who knows what the figures are?
We've got our own tournament-centric view, which is probably a small proportion of sales of any game.
Well, we even spoke to some of the guys playing it at Euros.
You can't generalise figures having not from our local meta. One people play at Euros.
But when we're watching the actual competitive play, it was... Maybe it needs more units, like you say.
Did you watch a tournament at Euros?
Well, we watched half a game at a tournament and spoke to a couple of the people playing.
And what did they say?
They all looked a bit miserable. And said, "This at the moment, this game is just about having a million units of five Rebel Troopers.
Right.
More activations.
Yeah.
Means win.
But, you know, at that point, they weren't even playing with Leia and Veers and...
Yeah.
Like, that was literally just the core releases.
And they've had a lot of content in the last... They've got a lot of new base troopers, haven't they? They've got, like, the Wookiees have just been announced.
Well, yeah, but when's all that coming out?
Like, yeah, true. But there is a future, saying is there will be a point where you get mass and you have enough variety. Yeah,
there are currently, like, 8 expansions announced that aren't released yet.
Yeah.
So they've got a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it, to do that?
That must be nice.
Or, like... If you were playing Destiny, you get a new set every month, right?
Yeah, pretty much. That's the other end of the spectrum. I stopped playing Destiny because of... I'm hard to please, what can I say? Too many releases, not enough releases.
Well, if you're like gamers, like in our... Which I expect most gamers are not too dissimilar to us, which is we get time to play maybe one or two games a week.
Mm.
We get one gaming night a week because we have families and we have
jobs.
So we have one dedicated gaming night a week, and then maybe we have a night to paint a week, and maybe we have a night to board game once a month on top, or two or three times a month.
Mm.
Like, you don't want something where you have to, like Destiny, where you have such volume that you have to pay so much money to keep up just for that one or two game nights a week.
And if you're living, if you had everything in one box,
Oh, like a living card game.
I probably would have carried on playing. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But it's the randomness.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're paying 38 quid for Yoda or whatever.
And you end up spending so much time like trading and buying.
Yeah.
And then at the other end of the scale, we still have enough time to play 2-3 games of Armada plus a big tournament every couple of months.
Mm.
You don't want once a year. You don't want that.
It's not enough.
You don't want one release a year for that, do you? You need two really, or three
to
keep it.
Two felt small, but I lived with it. Yeah. Like, I'd made my peace with two a year. And then,
yeah.
For all we know, there might be a release in, like... I know this one's going to be... It takes a lot of effort. It takes time to put these together, right?
Yeah.
Well, it depends how much money you put into it, doesn't
could
it?
They do something that doesn't require... It's the plastic, right? The mouldings.
They've said multiple times they don't want to release a pack of cards.
They're going to have to if they want to get something out soon enough to keep the game alive.
Competitively, yeah. Well, but that doesn't make money, like the margins.
But they released the Carillion Conflict.
They did. But it only had squadrons in. And the missions were probably bigger than the squadrons.
You know, that...
No, some of the squadrons have endured. Like,
of course they have. They haven't changed the game.
No, but they added new options, which people have taken. Mm. So, like, Shara made, like, a little Rebel fighter screen an option, which moves... Mm. Or it doesn't move the game away from the Rebel bomber meta, but
changes
it gives a competitive... There's a competitive option for list building where you can have two or three A-wings and then focus on Rebel ships instead of Rebel bombers.
Sienna and Rudor...
Both of those were
gave Imperials a minimal fighter screen.
They boost the double ISD option, which takes you away from Gladiator and Demo.
That's
true. And Rhymable.
They did really open up list building.
So actually, I think they do open up list building. So, yeah, like we've said about it before, titles and maybe variants for ships is clearly the way to go.
Wouldn't, yeah, a version 3 and 4 of a lot of the ships.
Yeah.
You know, a cheaper VSD.
Yeah.
A faster VSD.
We know there's some things they need to renovate with.
It's...
Some old models of ships that need a bit of attention.
I know it would make them redundant, the previous ones, but
Let me tell you my thoughts on it.
Go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's SSD. So I have similar thoughts to you, Ben. Like, competitive-wise, I think this is basically nothing. This is virtually nothing, right? This is virtually a nothing.
It's the next best thing after nothing.
So, yeah, my thoughts on it, similar to yours, Ben. I don't think it's going to do much for the competitive meta, and I... dislike the fact that so much development and waiting has gone into this one thing that's probably has a low impact. But here's what I think. The amount of people who don't play competitively in any game I've ever played, you can never tell the numbers because nobody really knows and it's difficult to measure them. But I think in almost every case, they're invariably much bigger. For casual people, or people who play once in a blue moon, people who collect, people who buy these things...
Well, they'd have to
be
for these companies to make any money.
They are absolutely huge.
The 200 to 300 dedicated tournament players in the UK are not propping up Armada.
Exactly, it's not. Exactly right.
In fact, probably costing with,
all the prize kits. Yeah.
And if you go on this... If you go on the UK Facebook group as well, the amount of posts you get on there that are like, me and my mate chucked everything we had on a table, or like, three of my buddies came over and we put 800 points each on and had a big bash.
Oh,
they massively outweigh the, like, here's the latest competitive meta list. So I think this could be a big money spinner for FFG. Personally, I wouldn't call myself like a crazy Star Wars. I like Star Wars a lot, but compared to a lot of people, you see... on the internet or in various
careful
articles.
What you're talking about now. You know, you need to be very
people
careful.
Collect. There are lots of collectors. There are lots of people who are crazy.
Yeah, I think a lot of people...
I'm just going to buy without question. Before I even see the cards, and when I saw how big it was, I'm like, this is going... This
on
is too
shelf.
Big for my cabinet, but it's going to go in my shelf somewhere. It's going to sit there. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to buy... I'm not letting this go by without me owning one.
To be fair, it's like, how is that going to fit in a case?
Yeah, transporting
Felder
that.
Are going to have to build a... new machine.
Well, oh my god, you're gonna look like a gangster with like a violin case, like, walking around with your Tommy gun inside.
Nice idea. You could repurpose a violin case. You could probably fit one each way, like Tessellation.
It fits in the big box, doesn't it? If it went in sideways, but then who wants to carry that thing to tournaments? That's a massive box. Like the
we've
transport.
Already said it's not gonna be really good for tournaments, so
people are gonna take it though, right?
Someone's gonna take it.
So I think it's super cool.
And they're not gonna let the fact they need a big box stop them.
Oh no, I guess not.
And it is completely iconic. Really, the only thing they could do that's more iconic is the Death Star, and that
would be absurd.
I mean, if they did that to scale, you physically couldn't fit one in.
Well, nothing in Armada is to scale.
No, obviously. But if you did it to scale, it would be like ridiculous. Mm. But if you cut it down, I mean, it's
Well, because the Super Star Destroyer is massively out of scale. Like, if you remember, like, in Empire Strikes Back, the Super Star Destroyer fills the widescreen, and the Star Destroyers are, like, specs.
Well, you don't know their perspective. Yeah. You don't know whether it's based in space.
Well, yeah, but the Super Star Destroyer is further away than the Star Destroyers that are in front of it.
Okay.
And they're like, an inch compared to the meter-long Star Destroyer. You know, if your TV's a meter long, that regular Star Destroyer is an inch long next to it.
The wiki says it's about 10 times.
We don't have the reference library here that we had, but we talked about this on a previous podcast when we were like, things we'd like to see. Mm. And we looked at it, and I can't remember the exact numbers, but like...
There's like five different
measurements for it. But the crew population of like an ISD was like 1,500, and a Super Star Destroyer is like 350,000 or something. People like living... Or something wow. ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it was 10, 15 times the length. Comfortably, so
I think they went it's a good size. Like it's the biggest good, yeah. they could go. Yeah, they've gone yeah.
they did well with the size.
It's a nice compromise. It's a playable piece that yeah. looks intimidating. Huge.
Seeing the guy hold it on stage, yeah, like, yeah, yeah. it was.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you can't see me holding it.
It's the biggest. It's the biggest model FFG has ever made. It looks for any game system.
It looks amazing.
Must be, the only models I can think that are bigger than it are the Forge World Titans. Surely.
Yeah, or maybe that come on Cthulhu.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. That guy. Like towers over toddlers yeah. and stuff, whatever. But yeah, you're right. There aren't many models in the world probably.
Well, when you think of the price then, that versus Forge World stuff.
Yeah,
well, Forge World, you bad. Can't everything looks like a bargain compared to Forge World. Like that's an exactly. absurd comparison.
Forge World make in UK, so they don't have China labour prices. Yeah. Or lack of regulation.
And they don't charge.
But not painted and
they don't like mass produced.
Exactly.
Either. It's
they're
all hand cast.
Exactly.
And, yeah. I'm not
exactly.
saying like but they are crazy.
Yeah,
they were a premier luxury product.
Yeah, sure.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I think it could be a great boom for the casual army scene.
What about
it could
this?
Be fantastic, and also for Star Wars, and it lets them do something that they cannot possibly ever do in any of their other game systems except the living / dying card game
right.
Star Wars, because you can't. But that has nothing tangible in it because it's just cards.
Mm.
You can never do it in Destiny. You can never do it in Legion. You never do it in X-Wing. You know, I guess actually it's in Rebellion, but it's about 2 inches long.
Yeah, it's not even double the size of an ISD.
It's pathetic.
Yeah, because it's actually thinner than the ISD as well, so it looks a bit weird.
Yeah.
Like you're like, is
yeah.
this better than that? I'm
yeah,
not sure.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess
it's a board game.
Guess,
yeah. It's just a representative.
Yeah. I guess there
it's
is
a meeple, right?
There is Rebellion, which I've forgotten
Rebellion.
About.
Oh, that's what I was talking about. What, sorry?
No, yeah, that's what I was saying. Okay. I've forgotten about that when I said it was the only
way they could do it. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's the only way they can do it as a sort of.
To be fair, it's super underpowered in Rebellion as well. And it's a bit of
yeah.
a segue, but the investment of actions required to build one of those things is
yeah.
absurd, and
yeah.
you would never normally try to do it.
Yeah, it's not a very good project.
It's a weird vanity project, just like
didn't,
it is in Star Wars.
Didn't they, didn't they make it in the expansion, though, in the Rogue One expansion? They made it. It starts on a lower.
Yeah,
so you can get it in more quickly.
There's something you can do. They changed the card.
You can rush it in.
Yeah, it's definitely
they
quicker
realized
to build.
It was rubbish.
Because by the time it turns out, the game's over.
Yeah,
normally.
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be an expansion for that soon as well.
I think
certainly
it's cool.
before Armada, anyway.
Mm.
I think it's cool for Armada,
right.
and I'll be buying it. So
my concern will be if it's
whether or not I'll put it on the table. I will probably put it on the table for one, won't we? And then we'll
yeah,
fly.
Well, I think you know if you buy one, we'll all play a game of fighting against it and playing with it
yeah.
each, I
yeah,
imagine.
Yeah, yeah. Just,
like,
fun.
Just for fun. Yeah.
I mean, one versus one.
Probably do a game in an hour.
Yeah.
I've only got to deploy two things.
Yeah. I don't know.
Don't have to think too hard in your turns.
Yeah, I've only got to set one command dial a turn or two command dials a
choose
turn.
Choose which you're going to have on your navigate.
Yeah.
We're going left or right.
Yeah, exactly. I won't even have to choose which arc I'm firing out of because I'll only have three shots a turn, probably.
Yeah, chances of you actually pulling your three shots off every turn are
slim.
Really slim.
So, yeah, I think we'll get it out and we'll play.
Squadrons, then a couple of ships.
You're
always going to shoot squadrons.
You know what it might do as well? It might generate a lot of increased interest in the game building
community. It might do. It might, if we
crack
that
down
players.
Big, some of the 40k players might be like,
if we go down on a busy night and like a show game.
And just and look like we're having fun rolling that, just mucking about, messing around, taking turns.
Maybe
that
do a
could
six
get
point.
Some interest.
Well, man, we could take that. We could be the pimps. and take that old girl out for a cruise around the block, show her off to the lads.
And then when they join up, we go, oh no, you don't get this car. No. You don't get this patch. Your patch is not the Regent Hotel. Your patch is this street corner. This is where you stand.
Now start pushing, kid. Here's your pile of victories.
You're like, no, you don't get this. Luck. You don't get this. You get a Nebula B and a Corvette versus a VSD.
Yeah.
Have fun.
I hope we're wrong. I hope it's good. But
I don't, for the reason Ben said. Because then the competitive matter becomes
good.
Literally
shite. Usable. I hope we see it as another like potential list that could show up.
I think those games will be really boring.
Yeah. It'd be like playing a game.
It'd be like playing
a game of 40K. I don't know if you guys have ever played them, but since they released Big Titans and Knights and stuff, and Forge World on the topic of that, and you play a 3,000 or 4,000 or 6,000 point game with your mates on a Sunday. Because I've played in a few of these, and someone brings a 1,500 point model like a Titan or a Revenant or a Reaver. It is the worst game you can play because it is that killing everything. Or it's that dying and then the guy who owns it rage quitting and going home early. if you have a game where more than 50% of the points are in one thing, like you say, the tactical options are virtually zero, and it just comes down to the strength of it, and either way you lose, because if it's too good then it's a shit game because there's nothing you can do to kill it, and if it's not good enough then it dies and the game's over. It can't possibly be a good thing. The only way it can be a good thing is if you make the standard points 600 or 800 points, which in itself is a bad thing because I'm not fucking playing 5 games a day of that.
Oh my god. Well, that's it. You struggle to fit 3 games in one day. I mean, there's a lot of calls on forums to raise the point limit for Armada.
It was funny, like you could only just about fit 2 with 500 anyway. And you wouldn't want to take 2 of those.
I think we're talking about having one of these and some other ships.
You know that would happen.
Someone will do it. There's always someone. You know, there's people who go to Flames of War tournaments with 4 Tigers and nothing else. Like,
yeah. Didn't even know that game still existed. I don't see it much these days.
No, it's a bit of an old. I used to play it a lot. So, yeah. But I don't even know. Don't know if people are still playing. I haven't played it for years.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Any final thoughts? That's about it, really. Hopefully there'll be some more information. Some of those cards will get spoiled in the next few months.
It's not even an issue, is it? It's just the fact that the delay for the actual proper wave of one that we want to see.
Yeah. I know.
We don't want to see this. So I think it's fucking cool.
It's a great
I'm looking forward to playing those fun games, for sure.
But the
competitive meta, I'm a bit bored of it at the moment.
It's super boring.
Because I don't like playing against Radus, because I feel like you're only playing half a game.
Yeah.
Because in none of that pre-game positioning... happens. It's just, it turns up exactly where you want it, and now we can start playing.
It's virtually impossible to stop.
Yeah.
But there's nothing you can do against it. If
they're very good, like, someone makes a mistake, you can really punish them for it. But if they're careful,
you lose the ship.
But I've even found it makes certain lists, basically, you just have to take the hit.
You just have to take it, yeah.
Like, you just have to take it, and they're going to get away. So you're not going to get 150 points of kills. Guaranteed you won't get it, because they'll put it...
They'll put it somewhere to hit you hard and then fly away.
Exactly. And there's virtually nothing you can do against it.
So I find that to be a bit of a non-game at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't like obviously playing Rekindle Virus, I've said for many times, I'm bored of that. Yeah. Which basically, that's half of the lists people take at the moment. And then the other half are 2 ISDs or Sloan.
Yeah.
And Sloan with a...
It's fun.
And I've just played those games so many times now. I'm not seeing anything else at tournament, so I really wanted the meta to be shaken up and to fight some new lists and to develop some new lists to fight those lists.
Yavaris is in Europe and Worlds. That's not the
in the top
most of
3 out of 4,
but I have to build my list to be able to beat them.
Yes, you're likely to hit one at the top end.
Once you get to the top, you're going to hit one. So although you're right, they're not as popular as they used to be, you still have to be able to fight it.
Yes, it's true.
I just want to mix up. I want some new lists to be good, and for me to be able to think, okay, well, how do I fight these lists? This is a different thing.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out shortly if there is something different or interesting soon.
Fingers
next
crossed.
Next week for ours, and then 2 weeks after that.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Right, so we'll cover quickly the quarterly kit. Oh, there's a store. Was it Store Champs?
It was a Store Champs.
Firestorm Games in Cardiff Store Champs. How many players are there? 14? 15?
Oh, I thought that was more than 16. Can't remember that. It was a while ago.
I think it was 12.
Wow, really?
It wasn't a huge amount.
Okay.
Yeah.
12 or 13.
So we'll do a much shorter review to this than we normally do because it was best part of 2 months ago.
You can't remember most of it.
You can't remember a huge amount of it. So I took Vader Devastator List, a Simoon with Vader on, early warning system, intensify firepower, Tua, and to allow me to take the early warning system, Spinal Armaments, XI7's gunnery teams, and I took an ISD2, which was Devastator, which is once per round attacking from your front hull zone, you can add a blue die to your attack pool for each of your discarded defence tokens, so that works well with Vader. That also has an early warning system on, iron cannon batteries, strategic advisor, quad battery turrets, gunnery team, and then two Gazantes with comms net. No squadrons.
Wow, so it's just the two long range ISDs, rerolling your reds and trying to just pound from early doors.
Yeah, well, Vader can reroll everything.
Yeah.
Did
you ever get the 12 dice front shot out of Devastator?
No, I got an 11 dice. Ooh, nice. But it became, I think I concentrated fire.
Mm-hmm.
And then intensify firepower with Vader.
Oh, and the quad battery turret as well.
The quad batteries were pretty useless.
Okay.
Because I'm always steaming in it to hit flanks, basically. Yeah. So I was able to sort of get Simoon. People would go after the Simoon because it had Vader on it.
Right.
It's
worth more points.
Yeah, and then I would steam in with the Devastator from the side, which was pretty strong. So, first game. So that was 7-point bid and my missions. Most Wanted, Contested Outpost, and Solar Corona. So, first game, I think I played Tony Evans, who I played a couple of times before, and he had a Raddus list with a 75 down on the table, and then the Home One thing coming in from orbit or hyperspace, whatever. Yeah, it was Defiance. Yeah, so he had sort of two big ships, but normally you'd see the Pickle down and then the 75 maybe coming in.
Yeah,
he had it the other way around.
Yeah, because the 75 is better at short range and obviously Defiance is better at long range. Yeah. But he built Defiance to be tanky, I suppose.
Yeah.
To just sit in the middle.
Yeah. And I went after the 75 with both.
Did you have anything else? Bunch of A-wings.
Too long ago, yeah. Some A-wings and maybe a couple of flotillas. I think I one-shotted a flotilla at long range. Bright Hope as well. With the side moon. I just went, wow, fuck off.
But drop it the fight, it has to go second, right? Like, you have to go second when you drop it.
Yeah.
And you're not going to leave that ship in front of it, probably. So you're going to do that
one. He puts it wherever he likes. Yeah, he puts it wherever he likes.
I know. The ship.
I mean, it's a good title to drop in.
It is,
because you usually always get the Defiance bonus.
Yeah, definitely. So, I managed to get... I think I managed to get the 75 in the end. But Defiance just ruined my...
Simon.
Yeah. Or then maybe I didn't even get his 75. He killed one of my guys because I had to go forward. I ran out of activations. I had to go forward and I turned so that I could maybe get away next turn. But it meant I was double arced.
Ooh.
Which was bad. So I didn't die, but I was not going to make it out of there.
Yeah.
So I managed to get my shots off, but I was done. And then maybe I didn't even kill that, but I killed all his other stuff, like his support ships and bits. And I think I lost 7-4 or maybe 8-3.
Ooh, bad start to the day.
That's a heavy one.
And then second game, I played against a guy from Worcester, and apologies, I can't remember his name. It was 6 weeks ago.
Oh, you're a monster.
Well, 6 weeks, I think, is a cut-off. Like, the day, the very same day. You can't even remember. At least I did make an effort to ask and try and remember.
I ask.
Do you
just do you write them down after?
No, no. Do you even listen to the reply? You ask and then you walk away and do something else. Anyway, he was a relatively new player, and I think in his first game he got hit by Raddus on turn one. He'd lost his thing.
Oh, lost his Raddus.
He'd lost his Raddus on turn one.
So that's just
so he was like that's 10-1 then.
Mm. It's the dream.
that's so my dream anyway. He did slightly better in this, but he split. He sort of learned from that mistake by deploying his Raddus like miles out of the way. Mm. But he because he split the ships, I was able to fly my two ISDs up the middle and just kill half his stuff and then turn them outwards into the various things that he would try to protect on the flanks. So he wasn't able to concentrate any fire on me. And like ISDs, all right, it was only 1v1, but ISDs 1-1 with like medium rebel ships, there's only one winner. So I think I got a 9 or a 10 there. And then the last game, I played a very similar fleet. It was he had a Cybin as well, and he had loads of Architens. And I think he had Vader as well. Well,
that's nice to see Architens. Yeah. You don't see them very often.
Yeah, but he flew them in like a little T, like crossing the T formation, like sort of drifting across my front, with the idea that he would have all the broadsides on my front.
Sure.
But then I had Devastator with gunnery teams.
Oh,
so literally I was
more targets, more shots.
One per turn. I was going, yep, I'll spend all my tokens, and then. And he said like that's what won me the game, because normally the Architens would take two shots.
Yeah.
But I was killing one a turn at medium range. I just rolled up the line with Devastator. Yeah. And then I hit the flank of his. Our Simians were like just front arcing each other, bumping each other, just power engineering. So like shooting like 4 or 5 points off each other and then engineering two or three of them back. Mm. So like nothing was really happening. And then Devastator hit the side of his and like wiped him down to like hardly any health.
Well, having intensified forward firepower and Vader gives you such a high average damage output.
Yeah.
Plus the 4 extra blue health.
plus the 12 dice of Devastator in the side made a difference. But I made a big error because I had my last shot, and I had no shields left on the front, and I knew that if I span round and flipped out the back, he would have a close range shot. I'd be out the back against my front arc. With no shields or anything on there, and I thought, and I had no tokens or anything, so I thought, I think I'd worked it out. Wherever he was rolling, I'd worked out like if he maxed out the roll,
he could kill
me. He would kill me, and there's nothing I could do about it. And I got so obsessed with that that I thought, right, I need to not get my front arc. So I sort of tried all these other things and looked at them, but because we were right in up against the wall as well, so to get to the other side of the table, I had to walk around like 4 or 5 tables, and there were lots of overweight gentleman between me and getting around the thing, and it was the last game of the day, and I was like, I'm sure it's fine, and I didn't
check it.
Well, I did check it multiple times, and I thought it was fine, and then it was in by a couple of mil. For a double arc, I'm talking.
So you had your shields, but he had the extra arc shooter.
I had a shield on each on each side on the side and the thing, but if I'd had that side arc. Only against his back arc, he couldn't have physically killed me. He didn't have enough dice to do the damage, but because he got the double arc, he just killed me with average. And like, it wasn't that big a mistake because I still got a 9 because I wiped his whole fleet out.
Wow!
And he killed Devastator, but it would have been his whole fleet versus none of my fleet.
I mean, that's impressive, managing to lose a Star Destroyer and still get a 9.
Like, yeah, well, true. I mean, I killed all his. I think he had a couple of Gazantes.
What was the mission?
Died. Good question.
He must have got you some points to get.
What's that? No, because the 9's 220, isn't it, these days?
No.
No, I can't remember.
300, though. Somewhere around the 300.
Yeah. You must have got some points of permission, but anyway.
Maybe it was an 8 versus a 9. Basically, it was only worth one tournament point.
Right.
This the difference between losing the ISD and not was only worth one tournament point. Which meant I came third, because on the second there was 4 of us all with the same points.
Ooh,
so good. And I had the second most MOV by like 10 or something.
Oh shit, so you missed
15.
Either by one tournament point.
Yeah, so if I had one tournament point, I would have come second outright.
Mm.
Or a few more kills.
Ten more MOV and you would have come second anyway.
Yeah. Which like doesn't seem like much second to third, but it was the fucking like Rados Profundity credit card thing, which I then ended up having to buy one because I really wanted it.
That price is really nice. Like, yeah, it's true. It's a credit card size thickness plastic of Profundity on one side and Chimera on the other.
Yeah,
it's and it's really spot nice. Glossed as well. I think. It's very nice prize.
It's beautiful. So yeah, I didn't ended up. One yet. But given that I took a reasonably heavy loss in the first game.
Coming
third is pretty good.
With a big loss, it's good.
So yeah, I was happy, and I was super happy with the list because I always make a point of how I hate long games, long days. All my games were done within like an hour and a quarter.
Yeah,
like even there's the ones where
two ISDs for you.
even where there was ships left on both sides at the end of the game, like it wasn't tabling. Hour and a quarter, we went in, we rolled a load of dice, and then disengaged, and then the game's over. Not having any squadrons clearly means it caps my ceiling because I'm never going to get, well, unless I'm playing inexperienced players, I'm not going to get big wins because I'm always going to, a good player can always make me lose one ISD. And if I do well, I'll kill more, but I'm never going to get 9s and 10s consistently with it. But it means I have fun and I don't have to think too hard. It is fun. And I don't have to have diabetic collapses and all this sort of, you know, I have to like run to the stand to get lunch in 10 minutes.
But it is satisfying to like take ships off the board at long range.
And it's crazy. It's crazy powerful at long range.
Just rolling maximum dice.
The guy was like, "So my reinforced blast doors, they're not great if Devastator just kills me." Because normally he says his architens, the way he runs them normally are, they can just basically take anything.
They take a big hit and then they heal up and run away.
Yeah. But Devastator was just going off.
Yeah.
Clean. Man. Oh, he's fresh and clean with no damage and full tokens. Off.
Dead. Take it off.
So, and the only thing, so it, all in all, I like the list and it suits my mindset and about Armada at the moment, which is I don't want too much detail.
I don't want too much fiddliness.
Is that the biggest like dice amount you can throw out from a ship currently?
From one arc.
With Devastator.
It's got to be, hasn't
probably.
It?
Probably. I would have thought so.
12 plus concentrate.
You can do
14.
You can do 14
plus
with
a dice with an.
With either with slaved.
Yeah.
With slaved and the one you talked about, the blue. If you're going fast, you can go 15, I think.
You can't have both those, though.
They're both modifications.
Yeah, but the Simon can have two.
It can have two turbines. But you're right, they might be two. They might both be modifications. You're right.
I don't think the quad battery turrets is a mod, but.
Slaved. Oh, quad battery would add one, yeah.
Yeah, so you take quad battery and like spinals. Or something.
So you can do 15.
But the Sun Moon rolls one less dice anyway than an ISD 2.
Okay.
So yeah, it's 14 then.
Yeah.
Because it's 8.
14 eight dice.
Anyway, yeah, it was a lot of it was
fun to roll.
It was. But like when I play games, I never bother really counting my dice because I don't care. I've had loads of them, so I just say to other people, you've got your dice, I'm happy, and I just group up what's left. And I've still got like the same right amounts of reds and blacks, but people keep fucking nicking my blues, so I'm down to like 5 blues. I should have 9.
What?
I'm down to 5, so I'm like, I have to borrow blues every time Devastator shoots because I don't have enough blues.
Jeez.
So I need to win some or buy some.
I've ended up like, you know, sometimes like they pick up your dice and you pick up theirs and it's fine, but one of my blue dice has a blank side. Because I've got it from someone else, and basically one of the crit sides has no paint in.
Right.
So it is a crit, but when you roll it, it looks like a blank because it's just etched in.
I thought it was like their secret dice. And they go, can I borrow some blue dice? Not these, you can, but I've got one over here that you can borrow. One over here you can have.
And it really confuses people and myself when you roll it and you're like, oh, oh man, I missed on that. Hang on, you can't miss on blues. What?
Yeah, that's a bit crazy.
Is that from a standard dice, right? Like you own a set of...
I think it's definitely one of the spangly like gem dice.
Okay.
It's one of the blue gem dice. Anyway.
That was cool. The only thing I think I'd change is the quad battery turrets. The thing that gives you the extra blue dice.
Because you were going fast.
I want to cane it in with the deficit. I don't think the list really works. If you slow roll it... I don't think it works as well.
So what
because you can. I think
we tested it with the two crits, didn't we? I'm sure we've tested it.
I'll have to dig it out. I haven't played for a few weeks, so I have to dig it out. I might just take the extra bid, or I might put some try and work something onto Devastator, because it always dies, basically, Devastator.
Mm.
Like, you can't really save, unless I could have saved it in the last game.
Yeah, but still, it's always going to be tight, isn't it?
It's always tight as to whether Devastator lives or not.
Two and, like, blast doors.
They've already got a defensive retribution.
You've got Brunstone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that actually can, over the course of a game, save a lot of damage. If you're dropping two damage every time you get every turn.
I've had two games where the Quasar survive because of Brunson.
Mm.
Yeah, who's my officer on that at the moment?
Probably Strategic Advisor, or...
It is Strategic Advisor.
Oh, and then Tua. So yeah, so it's hard to use the Strategic Advisor, yeah.
But then I do find that he's only... Or he, she
it's
is.
Only the first two
he's
turns.
He's only worth it for the... Because the once I'm in a medium range,
yeah,
it's I'm not using it ever, so...
And hopefully against MSU, you are popping a couple very early with your long range.
Yeah,
so you're catching up on advantage.
Really care going last against the MSU. I mean, I do kind of want them to come in a bit, but... Going to first before them, it's not the end of the world.
I mean, ideally, you have that one turn where you want them to fly into your range before you activate.
Exactly. That's the strategic advisor. Mm. Yeah, I'd have to think about that and work on it. But yeah, that was it.
Cool. Mm. Okay, so my list was just stolen straight from the Polish chap who came third at Euros.
Netlisted.
Yeah, netlisted. I thought that looks like a weird, interesting list. I want to try it out. He piqued my curiosity. So it's got a 3-point bid, advanced gunnery, fire lanes, and superior positions. It's a QAT with Thrawn, Chimera, Price, Ruthless Strategists, Early Warning System, Ordnance Pods, Leading Shots, and All Fighters Follow Me. A Gladiator 2 with Demo, Callus, Ruthless Strategists, External Rex, two Comsnet Gazontes, a Shuttle, 5 Bombers, a Jumpmaster and Mauler. So the whole point of it is it's super flak heavy. You've got two Ruthless Strategists and an Ordnance Pods.
Does it get to use that much?
And you've got Mauler. And it's very easy to use the Ruthless on the bombers.
Did you get attacked?
So I played one game against a fighter heavy list. My first game was against Sloan.
Oh, perfect.
And I looked at it and just thought, got this in the bag. Because obviously the Ruthless... Strategists trigger every time you shoot.
It is.
So the ISD can shoot, obviously, up to twice, but it's also got ordnance pods. At the end of its moving, it's an additional shot. And you can trigger Ruthless Strategists off the ordnance pods.
The counter one as well?
No.
We talked about it in the car, didn't we? And we said this would be super good against Sloan.
Yes.
And we were setting up. And I looked across at you, and your opponent like had his head down, his back buried, so he couldn't see your expression. Like, and you met my gaze, and I just put two thumbs up like this at you, and you sort of you had a little smile curled your lips, and you gave me a little nod, and sort of I was like, yeah, this is because I looked down and seen all these squadrons.
That's exactly what I wanted to see. It was your standard Sloan list with like all the scatter aces, and with between Mauler and the Ruthless Strats and the Callus Flak.
Did it kill the
Gladiator? No, he was quite careful actually. He spread them out. He put them into like three separate groups and was pretty careful.
Damn him. Thinking ahead.
Yeah, and I didn't play it as well. I went in before I should have done. So I did not get to abuse him as much as I should have done because this was the first game ever playing this list. So I never really used the Ruthless Strats that much. It was more about just like chasing him with demo and bombing him. And shooting him. So the whole point of the list is like you just Thrawn basically lets you activate all your fighters without ever taking a fighter command. He goes 3 fighters. That's enough to activate everything, and then your other ships just nav and fire and whatever.
Do what they need to do.
Exactly, and then the fighters hopefully aren't a problem, and your bombers and your so you've basically got 3 threats. You've got the QAT, the demo, and the bomber wing.
It's a solid list, but I just wonder is Thrawn necessary in it?
Yes.
Yeah. I think
100%.
100%.
He's
what makes it work.
Like, would another one work? Give you another benefit?
No.
Because I don't.
If you played your commands right.
I don't need. Well, if by playing my commands right, you mean did nothing but squadron and didn't get to navigate or engineer.
Do you need to?
Yes.
Yeah, but being able to navigate, very important. Being able to engineer is pretty important.
See, this is just fucking Yavaris Alex.
Yeah, just go squadrons.
All I see is ISDs
guys
just come forward.
Just fucking spam squadron.
Just come forward. Just that's what ISDs do.
All I need to do is spam squadron and roll fighter dice. And win. The guys are doing it wrong.
Okay, yeah.
thought that's how you play.
No, but by being able to engineer a nav, you can really like get some extra mileage out of these ships. Downside is it's obviously only 4 activations. It's not got a high bid. It hasn't got Bomber Command Center.
And the ships aren't that hard. They don't.
They're not particularly hard
because they're not super tooled up.
No, you're missing like your ordnance experts, your boarding avenger. You're missing all the things that really make the engine techs. You're missing all the upgrades that really make these ships hit hard. And that was a problem.
Did you ever meet you civil first? Follow me.
It's Chimera, so every turn you can just pick a different.
You like.
Yeah. Okay, one. You can just change it.
It's just that's the cheapest one.
I see. Okay. Makes sense that you just chop.
So yeah, you keep it for when you want to get the Mauler jump. Because if they've got Mauler 2, you can get them before they get you. And then you switch it to like intensify forward firepower basically after that.
Yes.
So yeah, he played it smart and I hadn't used this list, so I didn't play it super smart. I still won, I guess it was about 7 or something. It was like a medium win. And that led me to round 2 where I played Ricky with the Sato list.
Which yeah. Not gone over yet, but I carry on.
It wouldn't be a comms noise tournament report if
we didn't play. Yeah. It was gonna happen. Like the numbers that were there, we were gonna play. Yeah, one of us was gonna play.
It is tradition. And I picked your jamming barrier.
Yeah, I picked a different an odd mission this time for
you had a bunch of hammerheads with Sato and APTs. And
ACMs.
Oh yeah, no, that's right. You went to see about ACMs, I forgot. So we tried to play silly buggers with both of us moving the jamming barrier with our strategics, which was quite fun.
It worked well for me.
And eventually I got all your strategics that were near the end we were moving either locked down or killed, so then I had free reign with it and could like open and close the door. And then because I also had early warning systems,
that was annoying.
That caused,
but my list was made to be able to handle it.
Mm. But it meant you didn't get as much damage through as
I'd hope.
As you'd hope.
No.
I forget the details now. I mean, I know my demo hit your your MC-30 and then tried to fly away but didn't have engine tech, so couldn't get out of range, so you did get a side arc on me.
And didn't the squadron pip it?
Yeah, you got me down to... No, because you killed my ISD, so you can't have killed my demo.
I thought the demo lived on one health. Because it did.
Yeah, the demo lived on one health at the end of the game. Because basically you pounded me with the side of your 30, I got crippled, and then you tried to chase it down with strategics. What they call the VCXs.
Yeah, I must have missed.
And you missed the one shot at the end of the game on the 50-50 and missed it.
That's all right.
And then the ISD killed like 3 hammerheads.
Yeah, they were all good. They always die.
Didn't you fuck up the jamming barrier or something?
And then right at the end, the MC-30 came in, and I did. I had the opportunity to remove the jamming barrier to block the MC-30, but I think I miscalculated. I thought you couldn't kill me, and so I thought, well, I'll just give myself a better shot rather.
But didn't I roll at 10? Like 5 blacks went to.
Yeah, you rolled 5 blacks and got 10 damage.
Yeah.
And that was exactly enough to kill me. But if I'd moved the jamming barrier, you wouldn't have been able to.
The jamming barrier was amazing, though. Like, against the ISD in the front at first. Like, having 8 dice is much better than having 2 of mine.
I mean, I think against one of Chris's, it would have been. But mine was a Q-app, so I only got 3 reds at long range.
That's true.
So it didn't really care too much.
But even at close range, if I could have kept it in front of me, it's still halving all of your fancy dice.
Mm. No, that's true. I think... It's not very often you run into someone with a strategic to like pull it away from you.
No, and no one plays that mission anyway. It was just
yeah, it was fun. I don't think I'd ever played Jamming Barrier before.
So except for the mission before, the game before. That was my first time playing. Second game.
It was nice to play something different. So I came out on top again. I think it was a 7 or an 8. I can't remember.
It can't be too high.
It wasn't a big win. ISD,
No.
But it was a win.
Because I think did you blow up my MC-30 after?
Yeah, because I still had all those bombers. Probably did.
You killed it.
I'm pretty sure it died.
Because they'd already been mauled by demo.
I don't remember losing heavy.
Maybe it was 7 then.
Maybe.
Okay. Anyway, so then in the third round, I played the same guy Chris did with the Radus MC-75 Defiance.
Tony. Yeah.
And he did the same thing, dropped Defiance in the middle of the board. I came in wide with my Q-at. And basically ended up getting my QA in the front of his Defiance. because I deployed my bombers in such a wide spread that the only way you could fit Defiance in was like lengthways, so going across the table. Going widthways across the table. And then my QR was coming in from the flank.
Yeah.
So I turned in hard and then we were just kind of front to front.
Which is what you want.
Which is exactly what I want. He did manage to broadside Demolisher, take that down to like 2 health.
Yeah.
So at that point I thought, well, he's not getting away. I just sent him in for a suicide run into the front to bump and hold Defiance there for a turn.
To allow the
QAT to get position.
Nice.
So then between the bombers and the QAT and the demo sacrifice took out Defiance, and then it came down to a showdown between the QAT and the MC-75. No one spiked particularly high damage, so we ended up trading blows and disengaging.
Yeah.
I chased him down with the bombers. Didn't kill him, but we were playing fire lanes.
And
I had one strategic and he didn't have any.
Yeah.
So I was able to just every turn shove a token under his ship. So I think I got... There was only 2 turns where one of the tokens was drawn. And other than that, I got every single...
Wow.
3 tokens every turn.
So you got like 230, 245... It's 270 is the maximum for 5.
Yeah, so I think I got about 250 or something.
There was 30 you didn't get.
There was 30 I didn't get, but he didn't get it either.
So 240 to nil.
So I got 240 on tokens.
Fuck,
no. It's not bad.
That was a 10 then.
That was a 10.
Yeah.
And
he picked your fire lanes.
Yeah.
You picked it, yeah.
Yeah, he picked my fire lanes.
What were your other missions?
Sensenet and advanced gunnery.
Okay.
Oh no, sorry. Superior positions and advanced gunnery.
Superior positions is super bad for him, isn't it? Because your bombers can just.
Because I have 6 bombers who can just shoot him in the bum all day.
He didn't have many squadrons, did he?
He had the A-wing aces and maybe 1 or 2 vanilla A's. I think that might have been it.
And did you have any intel?
I had 1 jumpmaster and mauler.
Right. Yeah, so you can deal with those guys super easy.
And
right?
Plus the flak field.
So you can send mauler in instant damage.
Yeah.
And then if they come anywhere near your ship, you can just ordnance, expo, ruthless, strategist, rinse them.
Yeah.
And their tokens mean shit.
Yeah, so the fighters died almost immediately.
Yeah. So they ain't doing anything against you. And then you can just bomb him all day. And he probably thought...
So
I mean, probably wouldn't have been that far off 240, but...
I think also he probably hadn't really played... He mentioned before he hadn't played fire lanes with strategic before. He didn't realise how easy it was to just chuck tokens under his bases. He was generally surprised at how many tokens I was racking up.
Yeah.
So even worse when people shove it under your squadron and knock it down.
I think you must have had 2 sevens because I think you ended up on 24.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all on, I was on 22. The three or four of us who were like second to fifth were all on 22 points.
Right.
Because I know the 23 wouldn't have been first,
but it would have been.
But second. It would have put me second on this. So you must have had 24.
So I ended up winning the tournament.
Yeah.
It was a fun list. I would definitely change it. Playing again.
What would you?
I don't think Chimera was worth it because it's 9 points
between
for that extra speed and then switching to something else. You just don't get enough value out of it.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I did, and it was a struggle to keep the tokens coming.
You have a comms net.
Yeah, 2 comms nets.
Oh, right.
But even then, it was still quite hard because I did actually want the tokens to do other things.
Does that have a bid?
3 points.
So that would up the bid quite a bit, would that?
Yeah, well, I was thinking either swap out one of the... Once you've lost the Chimera, you don't need 2 comms nets, so you turn one of them into Bomber Command.
Yeah, that would really help.
Which would really help, because the amount of times my bombers...
You suffered quite bad against me with that.
Most of the games, my
bombers... Hammerhead survived massively after you tried to bomb the crap out of it.
Oh, yeah, I just chucked, 5 bombers at it and did, 2 damage or something. It was really frustrating.
You can't use your nice Chimera thing that you won.
I know, I won the Chimera using the Chimera. And I thought, I'm going to drop it.
But you can use the Bomber Command ult-up
that
you got from the other tournament.
So I think the general strategy is fine. I just really missed the dice mitigation, which is a shame because obviously Chimera gives you intensify forward firepower, which does give you a little bit of dice mitigation. But
I like the idea of a Bomber Command. I
think you need a Bomber Command in this list because your bombers are doing probably more damage than the demo is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are really the main damage element, aren't they?
Pretty much until the QAT gets in, but you don't want it to get it in early.
Yeah.
And
you can't guarantee with that QAT because it's not.
Well, you've got price.
Okay.
So you can try and line up.
But it's got such short range that if they want to stay out of it, they can pretty much, unless they're a big ship.
Yeah.
They can all, you know, if it's MSU.
Oh, if you're fighting MSU, the bombers.
They can guarantee they aren't going in the front of the queue.
But I do also want to get engine techs on demo.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the first time I've ever used demo without engine techs, and really.
It sucked.
Oh, man, it really struggles to, like, escape.
Yeah.
No, wait, okay.
And no, it's got Rax.
Mm. That is good, though, because Rax is decent, I think.
It's decent, and you know, you're scrimping points.
Yeah. I still prefer APT.
But I don't have Screed or the rerolls. And because it's demo, it's demo 2, so one of your sides becomes a red.
Okay, it's not
So you're only running 3 blacks, you've not got a great chance of landing the APT.
Plus, you can use it on a squadron if you really.
Yeah, well, you've got Callus as well, so if there's just something you need to kill, you can chuck 2 more dice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was. That's
Wait, won it? It come first.
It did come first, but there weren't any of the sort of other big players I've met at other big tournaments there.
And there weren't any super-powered lists, were there? I mean, there was like 4 or 5 Radis lists, but one or two were run by fairly new players.
Yeah, I think it was mainly just the local Cardiff guys.
And what I'm saying is there were no, like, Recon Power Squadron lists.
Or, no.
There weren't, like, any super, like, super Sloan lists, super tight Sloan lists that we saw at Worlds.
Yeah.
There was none of that.
Yeah, exactly. So,
oh, yeah, I left it with Boris at home.
Yeah. Mm. All right, Ricky, what did
you get on? I didn't do that well. You know, it was all downhill from the first game.
Going so against your list was a Sato list, right?
It was Sato. It was 3 Hammerheads, 2 Flotillas, and the MC-30. They were all kitted out with ACMs, all with the Hammerheads had the double rerolls, Ordnance, Experts, and the title, Organa. And I think both the Flotillas were armed. Maybe one of them was just armed. Mm-hmm. They all had the capacitors to throw out the blue extra.
Ah, so you get an extra dice at long range.
That was there to counter
the early warning
system. Early warning systems.
Mm.
And also the thing I was using, the target.
Oh, the jamming field.
The jamming field.
Yeah.
So yeah, my missions: jamming field, fire lanes, and sensor net.
Because you had 4 VCXs. Four
VCXs. Yeah. And surprisingly, they work well. I wasn't sure with Sato. I didn't know if it was enough squadrons.
It's a lot of hit points.
It is.
No, you send 4 VCXs at something, and they stay in there for 3 turns.
In fact, they stay there all game. I never lost. There wasn't a game where I lost all of them. Mm. I think I had like 2 left mostly most games. So first game I went up against, I think it was, I can't quite remember, I'm pretty sure it was an ISD, maybe a Gladiator and something like that, but the issue was, this should have been in the bag, like the list was made to just smash, and he picked...
One ISD is ideal for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it was one ISD, and he picked the mission that halved the dice for him, so the Hammerheads were going to live, and he had no way to stop me moving these tokens around, so his damage was neutered right down, but he had damage control team.
Yeah, so the idea is you want to try and hit this thing from long range with 4 ACMs a turn. So you just absolutely sandpaper all his shields off, and then he's taking like 5 damage to the hull every time you shoot him.
Absolutely.
With damage control team, suddenly he can contain
all of it. So much of it. I know he could only, like, there wasn't often I had all of my ships to shoot it at once.
Yeah, and even then, sometimes they're not getting the crit as well.
No. And having my dice as well, I had less blacks. I really needed those crits, and when I did get the crits, it didn't happen because
he contained. Just contain it. Or when it does, you only, even if you do get it off, you need to get it off multiple times for it to work.
Yeah.
And if you're only pulling it off once a turn, it's a struggle.
I'm pretty sure he got to pull off that like at least 4 or 5 times.
Mm. Well, yeah, every turn, I imagine.
It was. And by the time I got to burn it off, it was like that was 2 in one turn, burnt away. Damage, what's that? That's
well, 10. If he's done it 4 or 5 times, it's
8 to 10 damage. I missed that one.
That's... Man, on an upgrade, you very rarely see.
I know.
That's unlucky.
It frustrated me so much. The mission worked great. I was really shocked by how well Sato worked.
I love the idea of the peekaboo tactic of just moving the barrier out of the way, shooting again, and then moving it back up before you can shoot back.
What's thematically happening there? Like, the ghosts are like blowing the dust one way with like...
Oh, maybe they're just chucking chaff out the back of them or something like that. But your sensors are calibrated to like
work through it
to not
or they move it out of the way and then move it back. Like, yeah. Blow the chaff one way and then blow it back after you've shot.
Not sure.
Oh, maybe.
It was a good mission, but you know, I should have picked Most Wanted. It would have served me better in this case. I would have got an extra black.
Oh yeah, double points.
You picked his
points.
Jamming field.
No, it is mine. Because no, but
you had jamming field in your list.
It was my jamming field. Yeah.
So you couldn't have picked Most Wanted.
Well, I'd have had it. Otherwise, I'd have had the other two missions, which are perfectly good as well. You know, yeah, fire lanes or sensor net
with four VCXs. Like they're always going to pick the red one against that they mission are. Lineup. So yeah, Most Wanted would have been better for you.
I won, but it was only a 7. Unfortunately, and that put me into the same.
Is jamming field red? I thought it was yellow.
It's red. Definitely red. Yeah. It's the only red one that uses strategic.
Oh, it's like it's not called. It's called jamming field
or jamming barrier.
Jamming barrier.
Okay,
but it does use the duck.
Just how little I've played.
No one ever uses it. It's a really unusual mission.
I thought it would really help to keep the hammerheads alive. Yeah, and it did. They literally took a smashing.
Mm-hmm. Well, the chaff / dust cloud took a
it took a pounding.
A pounding. Yeah.
But yeah, I got a 7. I killed it in the end, but it should have died like a couple of turns before. I didn't need to lose as much. Mm.
Yeah, you would have ruined it with Most Wanted. Absolutely brutalised it.
Yeah, or if you didn't have that one card that literally screwed me severely. But a good game. It played it very well. And then with Ben's already gone over...
You've done the second game, yeah.
Second game.
Then your third game.
I honestly can't remember. I think it was against a new player.
Because I guess you would have been about even score. You'd have been about 10, 12, 11 points or something, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and it jumped me up to quite high. I can't remember what I played against. Oh, sorry, I apologise, but it was a new player, I remember. And
you showed him the way of the Force.
Didn't go well. Yeah, the power of the ACMs. And it was a heavy win. Put me up to, I can't remember where I placed. 6th?
Yeah, I think you might have been 5th. You might have been 5th.
You were definitely top 8. You got whatever the prize was.
I did. I can't remember the last game. It was so long ago now. But it was a good day. It was
maybe,
a fun day.
Maybe,
fun list.
Maybe 6th.
Well, we all played stuff we hadn't played before, which was good.
Yeah, and it was a good fun day. I love 3 game days. They're just...
I don't mind 4. Right for me. 4s are okay. 5s.
Yeah. And I always like going to Firestorm because they have... an absolute shit ton of stuff.
Their stock is amazing.
Yeah,
I always end up spending money every time I go.
Exactly. Same. So end up buying some cool new board game or accessory or something of some kind.
Foods on hand as well.
Yeah, and not crap.
Drinks,
beer if you want beer.
And they've always got demo games of the latest releases, so you can poke around at the models and look at all the open copies of everything. That's really cool.
It's nice.
So yeah.
You know, the only one complaint that I've not had run into before, but this time they had another tournament going on, like Warhammer or Ninth Age or something. And there was only about 10 people playing that as well.
No, it was more than that.
Well, it was less than 20.
No, it was about 30, I reckon.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Okay, well, they were down the other end of the hall.
It was about 30.
At the end, like, we were in the middle of our third game and they decided they needed to run through all their announcements on like the loudspeaker system.
Oh yeah.
And it was so loud, like until they'd finished, it took about 10-15 minutes and I literally couldn't think.
Because they're like, at a billion prizes, like old school Warhammer tournaments. Yeah. Like a billion prizes. It's like best painted, players best painted, judges best painted, like most thematic army, fluffiest
best
army,
sports.
Best sportsman. 5th place, 4th place, 3rd place, 2nd place.
And we just stood there and I literally couldn't play. I couldn't think because there was a speaker like right by our table. And it was just like shouting through a megaphone at me this nonsense I wasn't interested in. So that was... And there was no need. They could have easily just done it, stood in front of the group and said...
Yeah,
it, like,
yeah, there weren't many.
No. And it wasn't a loud hall either because there were only these two small events happening.
Yeah.
Even in Euros and Worlds, they don't use... loudspeakers for the 70 odd people that were there.
Exactly, and that's a loud area.
Everyone just got around the judge. There are the prizes.
Exactly. Anyway, minor complaint, but I was annoyed at the time.
Yeah. So that's good. So, the meta hasn't really changed though, so have you got any more things to explore?
No, Radus is still popular, and I just don't enjoy playing against it.
I really didn't enjoy with my list because I took early warning systems on both because I'm so used to getting fucking raped by squadrons, absolutely ruined by them, that I just take two and I tried taking one ECM, one early warning system,
but that's the worst of both worlds. You have to take both the same thing,
because
if you do that then Radus just teleports in next to the early warning guy and the squadrons attack the ECM one.
And everyone I played at the Cardiff Store Champs was like, why have you got early warning? The rubbish, you need 2 ECMs. And yeah,
just turns out everyone in Cardiff plays big ships.
Everyone plays big ships, but they're not exposed to the kind of Recon bullshit that I see on a weekly basis. So I don't know where I'm at with that, really.
And it's like you play it every week.
You've mentioned this point before, like
the rock paper scissors aspect of that defensive retrofit.
Exactly.
Because yeah, basically you make one choice when you make your list. Just one upgrade card that suddenly means I'm good against this, I'm bad against that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it. You can't mitigate it in any way.
So I probably will take this list either to another tournament or whatever, but I will just continue to get completely wrecked by Radis lists, and I'll completely dominate.
Squadrons.
Not dominate, but I'll have a good, great game normally against squadrons.
Mm. Well, there's more squadron lists than there would be Radis, right?
Well, you're good against
squadrons,
you
so, but not at this.
There wasn't a Cardiff. Yeah.
We'll find out next week.
Yeah, I think my complaint against Radis isn't even that he's too strong, because I usually win. It's just... It feels like half a game.
Makes the games terrible.
Because the whole pre-deployment and manoeuvring and lining up for the fight, for me, is the biggest part of the game. And that's just not a thing.
It was a time it's like you're pretty much guaranteed you're losing that. Whatever is dropped on...
Unless it's an ISD.
There's nothing you can do. Die. It's like, you can try and block it the best you can, but if you just one mistake that you just let it fit.
Yeah, and its corner can squeeze in to like very small spaces.
Well, that ship's dead.
Yeah. Oh, and you'll never kill this ship because of its trajectory. It's it's lined up to never go in front of any of your ships.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an interesting admiral, but well, meta's not going to change now for the next year and a half, maybe two.
Yeah, that is upsetting. We might be stuck in the same meta for 2 years now. Yeah.
Unless they do a heavy FAQ or a cardboard box, or they've got some other ships hidden away.
I don't think so. I think they've chucked everything at 2.0, haven't they?
Is it going to be Wave 8?
And Legion. Like,
maybe there's a Wave 8 hidden away. Maybe. This is just like, here's the big SSD.
But presumably the cost of the SSD to them is in the design. So it's all overhead. It's all intangible upfront development costs, right? Because how much do those cost to make?
Well, I'm sure the plastic mould development was expensive.
Exactly, but it's all upfront development, right?
Yeah.
But what's the marginal cost of churning one of those out?
Oh, good, yeah.
It's not $199,
if they sell a lot of the margin now for production,
massive.
Like, the cost to physically produce it now, they've already invested all that money.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're making a shit ton.
Yeah.
But so, they need to sell X amount to recoup those costs.
But what I'm saying is they want to let the product life cycle of that.
Yeah, the longer it runs,
exactly,
the more money
they
make.
Because they've got a big development cost to recover.
Yeah. They don't want to distract from it. They want everyone to buy this, not the next thing they bring.
And I think the margin on it is probably, of each individual product, is huge.
Mm.
Yes, there's a big overhead. There's a big initial development cost to absorb, to recover.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, what's the actual production cost of 15 upgrade cards, 4 ship cards, a 2-card sheet of tokens, and
yeah,
that
plastic
that
base. And that model,
and then
£5,
and then £5 or £6,
yeah.
And then maybe another £5 to ship it from China,
yeah,
and then maybe a £5 to send it to the retailers, and then the retailers take their margin or whatever. But they must be making a big margin on that.
And it's not going to
$199, and like you say, it's not just going to sell to Armada players. Mm. That's going to sell
on a lot of people's shelves.
At Star Wars conventions and collectors'
conventions.
There's
going to be a lot of cards that's for sale, I imagine, on eBay.
Oh, yeah, probably.
People not realising.
If you don't want to buy the ship, just look on eBay the day after. And
yeah, there probably will be a
pick up the Admirals, pick up all the other ones.
Maybe. Maybe people aren't that smart for that. Maybe they'll
just throw them away.
Maybe they'll just keep them
in a box somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Because the collectors would resell or whatever. So anyway, I'm
still going to get one.
Yeah.
I think they're pre-order now, so Jim.
Right. Did we have a tournament from a Nordic tournament to announce, or did that pass that?
We may have missed
that.
But
apologies. Was it Michael sent that one in?
Nordic Nationals.
Apologies for that, Michael. We just
didn't record.
Yeah, that's the bottom line.
Well, we didn't play any games or have any news. So if we had recorded, it would have been the worst episode of all time.
It would have been that tournament report.
Yeah,
and us moaning about no news.
Yeah.
Which you don't want to hear.
No.
We have the big one. So if you're a local next weekend at Big, we've got 16 signed up already.
Yeah.
For the store champs. Just for store champs. And then we've got Nationals, UK Nationals, 2 weeks after that.
Mm.
Is there a reason for us to get like regionals? Like if we can pull in over 16 on the store champs
in the middle of August.
Yeah,
middle of holiday season.
Pretty good.
Are you coming to Nationals, man?
Probably.
Okay.
I need to find a list I'm excited to play.
Well, I'm basically just going so that we can have a weekend board gaming afterwards. I guess chuck two ISDs on the table, have 5 45-minute games.
Your one day of Armada tax.
And then a Saturday, if we can get like an Airbnb, we'll just sit there all day.
All board games.
We'll just play board games all day. I've got loads of new additions we've got to try out.
What if they actually don't do a normal cut?
Have you seen the cut? I think it's the same. It's the top four bullshit. But it starts at like 1 PM on the Saturday.
What?
Which to me is an acknowledgement of we're going to absolutely physically and mentally and emotionally ruin you on Friday with 5 games.
So you'll need a lion
on a Saturday morning.
We showed up at that time anyway for the national cut.
Yeah, we had to talk them into it though, didn't we?
Yeah.
They wanted us in at like 9 and we were like, can we not? Can we just play after lunch?
Yeah, we're both staying together.
I think it's
a top four, but I think it starts at lunchtime instead of first thing in the morning.
God, I'm hoping they do Swiss.
I won't be there, so it doesn't bother me. I'll be playing board games. So yeah. Great. So yeah, we'll see you guys at Nationals, UK Nationals, if you're there, or at Big. If you're there, or if not, we'll catch you on episode 22, which hopefully will not be as far apart as this was from episode 20.
And send us an email. What's our address?
Comsnoiseuk@gmail.com.
Hooray!
So you caught me off guard.
Yeah, because tell us why the SSD will become a tournament staple.
Or tell us why you're excited for it.
Yeah.
Change my mind.
There's also Facebook. You can message us there.
Yep.
Awesome.
Do those things. Disagree with us so that we have some hope for the future.
And content.
Yeah, send us content because we can regurgitate.
Because the next one is going
to
be...
Because it's another year till next Gen Con and there's only a 50-50 chance of announcing an Armada thing.
The next one's going to be Q1, whether that's financial year or calendar year.
Yeah. We can record
that's our next content. So.
On the board games day, if we get a bit of time that we want actually to, after Nationals.
Hmm. Oh yeah,
that seems the most ideal time.
We should probably record after Nationals.
Yeah,
we usually.
Yeah, we'll have plenty of.
We can talk about the store champ and the Nationals.
Yeah, we'll be good. Plenty of content for the Nationals. 15 games of Armada to dissect.
Whoa.
What?
Spicy. We'll all play each other.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's only going to be like 12 games. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I forgot. Great. All right, guys. Thanks for your patience, and hopefully the quality of this episode is better. Thanks for your patience with that as well. And we will catch you next time.
See ya.
Bye. Bye.